councillors and staff. Welcome to November Council Ordinary Meeting. Item one is, in the spirit of open, accessible and transparent government, Berrigan Shire Council meetings are audio recorded. By speaking at the council meeting, members of the public agree to be recorded. Berrigan Shire Council accepts no liability for defamatory, discriminatory or offensive remarks or gestures that are made during the course of the meeting. Opinions expressed or statements made by individuals are the opinions and statements of those individuals and do not imply endorsement by the Berrigan Shire Council. Confidential matters of council will not be audio recorded. Recordings are protected by copyright known by the Berrigan Shire. No part may be copied, recorded, reproduced or transmitted without prior consent of the CEO. Any recording not and shall not be taken as an official record, as the minutes are the only relied upon as the official record. An audio recording of the council meeting will be taken for administrative and minute preparation purposes only and provided to the public for listening purposes. Who supports council statutory obligations. Acknowledgement of country. We acknowledge the original inhabitants of whose country we gathered on here today, and we pay our respects to the elders past, present and future, and extend respect to all First Nations people. Apologies. We have one apology from Councillor Payne. Can somebody move that, please? Councillor Hattie, second Councillor Reynoldson. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Apologies or absences of leave? Do we have any? Applications for leaves of absence? Any? We don't have any attendees of visual. Item 4, confirmation of the minutes. A recommendation that the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held in council chambers on Wednesday, the 19th of October 2022, be confirmed. Mover, please. Councillor Marriott, second. Councillor Cornwall McLean. Any comment? If not, I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 5, disclosures of interest. Do you have any?
Yes, I have. Karina, you are CEO. I have an interest in 8.17.
Yep. Nobody else?
The nature of the interest is a significant
pecuniary interest, and I'll be leaving the space.
Item 6, Mayoral Minute. Recommendation that the council support the campaign by local government New South Wales to address the statewide roads emergency call for an acceleration of significant funds for fixing local roads and fixing country bridges program, a boost to the roadblock funding to compensate for the damage to the regional road network, and new funding to provide council with plant machinery and skilled workers to expedite road repairs. Another mover and a seconder. Move. Sorry. I don't need a move. I need a vote, but I'm just going to make a comment on that. So I'll be attending the country mayor's meeting Friday morning, and they also have a further mayoral minute there that can be used to enhance the campaign. So country mayors have endorsed the campaign as well on top of LG New South Wales. So all those in favour? Against? Carried. Thank you.
Can I just ask quick? Like, that's great, no worries, but we all know that'll take 12 months.
Yeah.
What can we do to make things happen a bit quicker?
Well,
because the roads aren't going to improve by the time these blokes get around to doing anything for us. There'll be nothing left of the roads.
That's why I am going to country mayors, is because the Premier's going to be at the country mayors, address the country mayors on Friday. So I'll be square gating him and saying, you know, we want a commitment right then and there out of $50 million, a good start for the pothole funding. But it's probably, you know, you're probably looking at $500 million, if not $1 billion worth of road infrastructure across the state of New South Wales. So I'm sure he'll get the same message across the board. Unfortunately, at the moment, from my intake and or understanding of the whole situation across New South Wales, is we still haven't got to that recovery mode yet. So until some of these communities can actually get to that point of recovery, then and do the assessments on the road infrastructure. I mean, at the moment, we're just seeing that our road networks are failing. So, I mean, they patched the Riverina Highway a month ago or 2 weeks ago, and it's already failed again. So,
I was going to ask that. Did you chase them up, or did they do that on their own volition? Or?
Gary did inquire about doing something through, from me making noise about it, but they would have a roads program. They obviously go up and down the Cobb Highway, and they go up and down the Riverina Highway. So,
worries me. They did fix it, good, no worries. But if they've just gone away and we're going to see them for another 6 months,
it'll be an ongoing Yeah.
So should we chase them again?
Well, we will continue to chase them. As I said, they've been twice in the last month.
Yeah, I know, that's good.
But, it's going to fail again, and heaven forbid when the harvest starts, it's probably going to be more issues.
Usually
so
they fill a pothole, well, by the next day it's breaking up, which I can understand.
Yeah,
it's only mud under it, but nothing else you can do, as long as they keep looking at it.
Well, they'll have to. And that would have been part of this $50 million pothole funding, that they probably would have been able to get hold of some of that maybe as well. I don't know. We just need to keep pushing.
Going to go very fast.
No, it's not.
But, you know, we could spend that without even trying.
Mm. And if we look at our own road network, it's pretty good compared to everybody else's.
It is holding up remarkably well.
Yeah,
actually.
And I'll be pushing and emphasising that, you know, the New South Wales has said we will build back better, as in not like for like, that has been in the past. So I'll be pushing again to say that this needs to happen as well.
You want to plug them too, just because ours is a little bit better than everyone else. We probably it's a better investment in keeping ours top notch rather than fixing up a totally stuck one somewhere else.
Oh, look, well, you know, everyone's got a theory on those sort of...
That's what I'm telling you what to tell them. That's
No. I'll be definitely saying that, you know, that whilst our road network is not in, say, the shape of federations, but it doesn't mean that it's any less safe or any more safe than their road network is. So, it'll just be continued advocacy. Obviously the Premier's going to give us some time Friday morning, so he will, I'm sure, from all the country mayors, be getting the message loud and clear. Seven one reports local traffic committee the recommendation that the council adopt the following recommendations from the local traffic committee meeting held on the 8th of November. The first one is to obtain traffic data and speeds of vehicles regarding the Berrigan Child Care Centre, particularly trucks. Second one is to approve the application of the BDDA to hold their annual Christmas function and temporarily close Channer Street. Third one is to approve an application by Mile to Wild to run a 2023 mile rod run event, Deniliquin Road, Deniliquin Street, Murray Street, Crowley Street, Duff Street in Tokemoor. Council approved the application made by the Covenbrugge Cycle Club to hold their annual event each Sunday, for the next 12 months, and the council note and review the speed zone at Drury Road, Berrigan. A request is progressing with Transport New South Wales. And the final one is to note the review of the speed zone, Channer Street, Berrigan, and the request is progressing the same. I have a mover and a seconder for that. Councillor Marriott, second Councillor Reynoldson. Any questions?
Just on that, I attended this meeting as the local traffic committee rep, and those first six were obviously just outstanding from the last meeting in February. There's now a backlog of other things that were discussed in general business, and most of them are speed related and speed review related, around schools, kindergartens, parking, and obviously an oversize issue there, which Gary tells us he'll be able to help from his Vic Roads position.
Oh, good.
So, but just on that, it's been somewhat underwhelming, obviously, for the last year because of just a lack of meeting, and Transport New South Wales has a high rotation of people in the seat. I assume now this Greg Minham, he's there, and he'll be our point of contact. So hopefully we can get a bit more action.
Yeah, it's been really hard to just get them to come.
Yeah, well, they just haven't. So hopefully that'll be a bit, if it is quarterly, we can start to see a bit of progress on speed.
Some of those issues,
Are we going to move into a closed session?
We can, when you're ready to go into it, we can. And if it's pointing to go in now, we can go in once we've moved this recommendation, voted on it. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I did. With regard to the review of the speed zones, what happens there as far as the process goes? Because I think we discussed briefly some speed zones a little while ago, and at the time it was sort of agreed, if you like. I thought that we were okay maintaining the status quo because there's people wanting it slowed and others were happy to keep the speed.
So from what I can gather, Ted, there's two different bodies that are at play here. The Transport New South Wales will conduct a review as to whether they think, given the traffic
volume,
volume in that area, whether it needs to be a 40 or a 50 or a 60. So they actually set what the speed should be, Transport New South Wales, and then the New South Wales Police come along and they enforce that that speed should be upheld. And in the Baruga cases there, the speed is not being upheld as a 50 zone as you enter town, 40 past the schools, and then back to 50 through the village. So both Transport New South Wales and the New South Wales Police are going to review it. And because we've got so much reversing traffic into what is a lot of truck traffic, we're reviewing that to potentially make that 40 in the village.
Right. So was that a request from us, or was that a...
That was a request from the Baruga Advancement Group in February, and it's now got onto the local traffic committee's agenda.
Right.
Okay. So now Transport New South Wales and New South Wales Police will look at it.
Right. And the same with the Berrigan one as well?
Same
yeah,
with all...
Chandler Street's been an issue for a while. People have been asking.
So the process of what happened in Finlay was that... Obviously, the main street, a lot of trucks going up and down it, so they put traffic counters on there, which is these traffic counters there again at the moment. They're actually, they're not farly put apart at the moment. They're probably only 50, 80 metres, realistically. So they'll put the traffic counter on, as Carly said. They will measure the volume and they'll get a speed reading off it as well. So
and they can decide whether there is an issue or whether there's a volume.
And whilst Finlay were, you know, there wasn't seemed to be as big an issue as it was still deemed because it was on the corner of four roads,
yep,
that it would be wise that you reduce that. Now, the impact of reducing to 40, I haven't had any complaints about near misses at the pedestrian crossing or anything like that. That, I mean, that you're right, there are two schools of thought that we're over police and it should be the person who's driving's responsibility to stick to the limit. But if that doesn't happen and there is blind spots like in the main street of Tokemoor, well, then therefore we need to do our due diligence and put in the mitigation that we see fit. And
I guess if you go into Victoria, it's sort of 60k, it's pretty much standard right throughout. And then we come across the border and then we're at the 40 in places and just sort of...
That's just their main risk mitigate. Whereas Victoria has different ways of dealing with it. We just like...
I guess I'm just sort of curious to see the process and I thought there might have been a little bit more involvement either from the Shire level or community
police
level.
Police and transport.
So you got kids?
No.
Jack?
So
that's the process. And look, mitigation's always better. All right, Darren's coming in to give us a briefing. So all those in favour of the traffic committee minutes? Against, Carrie, go for it. Darren, thank you.
Oil.
Sorry, we may actually go into closed council if we can. Can somebody move we go into closed council? Councillor Reynolds? Yeah, you shut the door, Darren. Yeah. Move Councillor Reynolds and second Councillor Taylor. All those in favour? Carrie, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, council went into closed council session to discuss personal hardship of residents and ratepayers. No decisions were made during closed council. Council has returned to open council. Righto, 8.1, tourism group. Recommendation that the council nominate Councillor Payne to be at its delegated member of the tourism reference group with Councillor Ted Hattie as her proxy. We're going to second that. Councillor Reynoldson, second. Councillor McNaught. Any comment?
Excellent choices.
Who are you representing this tourism to? Well, Reynoldson, second. Councillor McNaught. So who are you representing to? What board are you going to? Or is it MRT?
Burdenshire Tourism Reference Group.
All right. All those in favour?
Thank you.
Again, Gary, thank you. 8.2, Cobham Baruga Business Tourism 22-23 Events Sponsorship. Recommendation that the Council supports the event funding proposal presented by the Cobham Baruga Business and Tourism. Everyone's read the report. Moving to second, Councillor Cormann-McLean, second Councillor Hattie. Comments?
Should we, in the recommendation, should it have the figure?
Probably should. 20,000 in the figure.
Invested.
It does
it
say.
But it is best if it's in the
motion. Yeah.
So
to the value of.
Yeah.
Is that for 1 year or?
That's for
1 year.
This financial year.
That's financial year, yep. Any further comment? If not, put the recommendation. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Thank you. 8.3, September quarterly and delivery program progress report. Council adopt the appended September quarterly review of the Council's annual operational plan 22-23 and the 6 monthly delivery program progress report 2022. Can I have a mover and a seconder? Councillor Marriott, second. Councillor Reynoldson, comment?
Councillor Lockin, this is the first quarterly review of our new operational plan. You'll notice that there's a number of items that have actually been identified as completed and some action for the at this time. The individual council officers have actually provided comment for each of that in attached.
So I notice that we have completed a lot, but I do notice that the Deputy CEO has a lot that are a 25% position or not.
Well, 25% the way through the years, to me.
Yeah, okay. So that's the reasoning why it's 25%, because we're a quarter of the way through the year.
If they're ongoing activities, yep. Then, yeah. Otherwise...
Some of them don't have to be expedited till the end of the year, or some of them get done earlier.
Things like managing our... For example, managing council's financial position,
yeah, well,
or 25% done in September,
that's different.
50% in December.
75%. So it's a year to date. The percentage is a year to date, and then where there are some identified as 100% in the report and completed, that's where it's.
That's more of a project than a program.
That's what I mean. So that's why I wasn't talking about the financials. There was a couple of projects in there that were 25% too. I haven't got the appendix open, but.
I'm happy to take it on notice, Mr. Mayor,
yep.
If you've got specific questions
yeah.
on any of those.
I will have them written for you. I'll email them.
So just out of curiosity, like, say, developing an urban tree strategy, like, that's been sitting there since I started.
Yes.
And should we just leave it there? If it's obviously, it might get done one day, but there's a fair chance it probably won't the way it's going. So
look, I think from this is the responsible officer is... obviously, that's something that they have on their work program and they've wanted to actually carry it forward and pop it into the operational plan so that it is not...
Yeah. I think
so that it is not forgotten. There are a number of issues in relation to urban trees and it provides the opportunity...
Don't get specific, I'm just talking generally. There's a few there that I'm just wondering, like, we've got them as objectives, but, you know, if it's only 20% likely to happen in the next 5 years, should we have it on the list or we just...
Look, I think that's a really relevant question and it's certainly one that I would be more than happy to take back to those officers. And when we do a review of the operational plan, then that's the conversation to actually be had almost with that officer as to, well, why are you carrying it forward all the time? There are some benefits to just leave it in the delivery program. And not the operational plan, because if there is relevant funding that comes about for an urban tree strategy, then you've got it in the plan and then you're able to provide the evidence for an external funder. That's some of the reason why they get put there.
I think there's also a bit of concern. Sometimes people think that if they let it drop off, then they're going to do it. So there's a bit of work to do in that space.
Don't let it come.
All right, any other questions?
This one feeds into the operation.
Mm-hmm. All right, put the recommendation, all those in favour. Again. Harry, thank you. Oh, here we go. Wasn't much in the 423 pages of the appendixes, was there? 8.5, is that correct?
4.
Yep.
8.4, page
7.
Sorry. There's been a lot of social media stuff saying, we'd like the beach as soon as the water goes away, and like, actually, we need to be really clear with that, because we've never had
this. So the recommendation is that the council acknowledge the damage assessments and work that will be required by staff once the high water currently being experienced recedes. It is also acknowledged once one of the sites expected to take some time to open will be Town Beach. So that's, is it?
It's just a basic summary
something
of the work
for
that's
noting.
After.
Yeah.
It's really just understanding the work that's wrong, because even the toilet space has been for a very long time.
can have a mover and a second for a start. Councillor Addy, second Councillor McNaught. So that will be just something like we will just regular communication through our social media when it's going to open, what we're doing, obviously, all that sort of stuff.
Can I make a comment here? Because of the difficulties and the expected to take some time, I'm keen to, and the foreshore committee are keen to be involved as much as possible there as well. And I realise there's a motion out there at the moment suggesting that it's going to be just the Shire looking at and taking the foreshore committee out of the loop. So I'm foreshadowing, I'm foreshadowing a motion to remove that was to remove the motion that removes the foreshore committee, rescind the motion of the to remove the foreshore committee from assisting with the management of the town beach, because I think in this instance particularly as well, we've got some people experienced and motivated to help get that set up. Obviously, it's a fluid situation that we need to be ready when the water recedes to try and do something there, and there's a group there ready to help. Now, of course, there's arborists and things like that probably necessary for the trees, which they've acknowledged from previous flooding that we need to get someone in there to look at it, and they may well be able to assist there, I guess, because Shire's going to be have enough difficulty to get around everything as it is. It would make sense to make use of that group and their experience to assist getting it up and running and ready to...
So you're foreshadowing, you're going to put a rescind motion...
Yes, I'm foreshadowing a rescinding motion, but I'm also foreshadowing as well that I'm proposing to put an additional motion forward at that next meeting to try and re-establish a strong working relationship with the foreshore group so we can work together to get the town beach going.
So part one of the rescind motion, you'll have to have a mover and a second to put that rescind
I realise that, and I'm sort of hoping that won't be too difficult. But
So just to clarify, if I could, Matt Hanson, Deputy CEO, you're foreshadowing that you'll be putting forward a notice of motion, or two notices of motion. One will be a rescission motion, which will relating to the removing the delegation for the operation of Town Beach Caravan Park from the foreshore committee. And you're moving another notice of motion that will require council to develop a strong working relationship with the foreshore committee for the operation of Town Beach.
Correct.
Can I just ask a question before we move that? What the ARIC position is on that? Because I feel like they direct us on this. Is my only query.
And I'm happy to respond to that as well. I've been working very closely with the foreshore committee since our previous meeting as well, and I have gathered the information that has been requested from the Shire, and I guess established or help establish some good working contact points at the foreshore group, so that a lot of the questions that were raised in the ARIC report, the recent report, I should say, have been addressed. Now, I'm also in the process of requesting a meeting with the relevant staff from the Shire and the relevant people from the foreshore group to come together.
So we're not debating the motion now?
We're looking to establish an online system for the booking of the markets and the management of the market, so it ticks all the boxes that the Shire needs and the foreshore. There's two separate things. One's for the market, which was part of the report, and also the beach system was to try to establish a online system so that we can basically have a more traceable.
So we have that foreshadowed, so we can wait to have that.
Yep, debate. For sure. But
I think you've got that. Question to Harry.
Yep, Councillor Corwell-McKean, there are a number of recommendations and actions that are outstanding in relation to that audit report. We've not, I don't know if Council has, but the Audit Risk and Improvement Committee have not received anything in writing from the committee, and they've not presented to Council. We would need to see things in writing. That's the whole premise. If it's not in writing, it doesn't exist when it comes to audit. So it's no change at this point.
Michelle? Response,
last one. So this is not against this. This is a motion here that we're talking about.
No, it's just a general comment. Like, The floods are a negative, but perhaps it also has given us an opportunity to reset and to really think about how, look at the recommendations, think about how we can get the Town Beach and foreshore to work properly. And I think we should use that time.
Yep, all right. Okay, we've got a foreshadow.
And certainly that's our intention. We've certainly, I think, answered a lot of the questions, although that hasn't been with ARIC, it's been with the Shire, and we've, I think, opened some really good lines of communication there to answer all the issues, but also try and move forward and establish a good online system that answers things going forward, because that there's systems in place that probably weren't up to standard, which they've acknowledged, and we've actually got someone prepared to put some sort of system together. So that's what I'm trying to establish with the Shire at the moment.
Yep.
All right. All those in favour of the recommendation? Against? Carried. Thank you. 8.5, Local Government Remuneration Tribunal. Decisions sought. Do we want to put in a submission? I had a bit of a think about this last night.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay. Accountability for mayors and councillors has gone up a notch in the last 12 or 18 months.
Tell me about it.
So I don't know whether or not you want to put in a submission or not, but
if you want me to, I'll
suggest
I'll prepare one. But if you can just give me some dot points, so I've got a bit of direction, because otherwise I'm going to be rambling.
No, no, that's right. Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing is we're paid on a per head capita, right?
Yeah.
Or not paid. Our allowance is based around
your allowance is based on the categories provided for each council. So there's a bunch of categories that you're provided in, and you're in Berrigan Shire is in the lowest category.
And that doesn't account for the expectation of the ratepayers back to the council. That's what I'm saying.
So there's two avenues of which you could go down the approach of a submission. Your first angle is to say, well, Berrigan Shire has been placed in the appropriate category and needs to be another category which better reflects the work to do. I think that might be a stretch given that there are councils larger than us that are still in this category. The other alternative is to say that across the board, councils are not being remunerated in like manner to their counterparts in other jurisdictions such as Victoria and Queensland.
Yeah.
When the actual role doesn't vary particularly different between the responsibilities in Victoria in particular, and even in Queensland to some extent.
I think is it 25,000 across the river?
Yes.
So and whilst the Shire, the Moora is bigger, but the ones that represent each of their wards, they're no bigger than the Berrigan Shire, they're actually smaller.
Yeah, if I can just make a comment, and I've probably said it a few times, we want to attract people that are talented, and I understand that there's a there's a community aspect to it, but particularly younger working people, I think it's actually a positive disincentive to be involved in council. You have the responsibility, and people give up working time that they would otherwise earn considerably more for their time. They have the responsibility.
Do you need a
when you say yes to
percentage
something,
for
no
that?
To something else. Every hour we're sitting here, we're not.
Yeah.
You're either not working or
All right, we'll get something together and we'll put a submission in. Everyone's happy with that?
So you've got to move in a second?
Councillor Marriott, Councillor Taylor.
Notice that Council will make a submission. The CEO will prepare a submission on behalf of Council.
She has, but you know what? If we don't start the process, someone else won't.
And then we run a risk of going backwards in our demographic of councillors, which we don't. No. Go forward. No offence.
No, but, you could easily say that minimally you could put in at least 10 hours a week, minimally. There's 40 hours in a month.
If you do it if you figure out what your per hour cost is, and we wouldn't get through this meeting.
No.
in terms of what you should be doing.
Don't think about what you're getting paid per hour.
No, but if you have to monetise it compared to what you've been doing in your paid work, or where you'd be doing.
Forget about it. There's no way knowing anyone would go on the council. If you've got a job, you wouldn't go on the council.
If you could all give me that sort of estimate, I can correct.
All those in favour?
I wouldn't pick a shovel up under less than $500 an hour.
Of course you would.
I pay very often, but I'm just telling you if you want to know what I'm worth.
All those in favour? Against? Carried. Thank you. 8-6, senior staff employment submission. The recommendation that council adopt the senior staff employment submission, noting the CEO has already submitted the submission as required by 15 November 22 and as discussed with council at the November strategic and policy workshop. Mover and a seconder. Councillor Cornwall-McLean. Second, Councillor Taylor. Any comment? If not, put the recommendation. All those in favour? Again, carried. Thank you. Finance account, 8-7. Recommendation, the council received the financial statement, back reconciliation state certificate and petty cash book made up 31 October 22. Confirm the accounts paid as warrant number 1022, totaling $10,527,179.50, and note the report on the investments attached. Moving to seconder. Councillor Hattie, second. Councillor Renaria. Comment? I just have one comment that we're starting to get some decent interest rates out there. So do we need to now, I know that we've discussed it, and I know it's probably in the next report around the investment, but we need to look to jam a bit more of that money away for a bit longer.
Your investment policy is coming up later in the agenda, Mr. Mayor.
That's right. Good.
Now, you know, the last meeting we had, our advisors were going to give us and in the report later on, we haven't, you know, the high ones are all ones we're not invested in anywhere here. Are we taking notice of that?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
So as soon as the investment policy is...
So we're happy. So for instance, I can't remember the numbers. There's one offering 5.2, which was ING or something like that. So I'd assume as long as they pass, we'll just go straight from, say, AMP to that. Mate.
Well, AMP's offered 5.
Something to that, yeah. But Tully will investigate with.
Yeah.
Because I'm just looking at a few of these. You know, they've changed, you know, there's a couple of them there within a fortnight of each other, and there's, you know, 1.5% difference between them. It seems a fair whack.
Yeah.
Mm. So as well as looking at returns, we are looking to ensure that we minimise our counterparty risk by keeping a diversity of institutions involved.
Sure.
I understand that.
And when we get to the investment policy, I'll talk a little bit about why we are with some of the people we're with, and suggest that it's probably not doing us a lot of good. But we'll get to that when we get to that.
Right.
All those in favour? Against? Carried. 8-8. Togamore Railway Preservation. Electricity cost. How come this comes to it?
Maybe the foreshore committee could help their own here. Is that possible? Like the same way BAV helps Baruda groups. Could this be an internal?
Turn the ass.
The council make an annual financial contribution to the Tokemoor Railway Preservation Committee of Management to offset their electricity bill to the maximum of $1,000 per year. Would you like to move that? Councillor Marriott, second. Councillor Hattie, comment?
Could I ask me to provide
what do they do? I've never heard of them before.
They look after the railway.
So,
shed.
The railway shed.
Railway Station, the actual station.
So that's nothing to do with the container stuff?
No. The actual passenger railway station at Tokemoor is, despite the fact it's in New South Wales, it is owned by VicTrack. So VicTrack, back in 1996, decided that they would prefer someone else responsible for maintaining it. And the council at the time decided that's a great idea, that's what we'll do. So council went and took that on the basis that it's an important part of our local community. Now we have a 30-year lease that expires in 2026. Until that time, we are responsible for everything that we need to do under the lease, which includes maintaining the building. So that's what we're responsible for. So that includes making sure it's painted, but we just can't go and paint it either because it's a state heritage listed item. We have to consult and make sure that we're using heritage paints, da 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 da, because of the nature of the building at the time, we're doing structure works and we need to talk to them as well. Then, of course, if we have passenger trains up there, we need to inspect the platform and make sure the platform's okay, because our lease is not just the building, it's the whole platform area. So we've taken on, in that lease back in 1996, probably a bit more than what we were anticipating. Now, what we did in 1996 as well is the Tokemoor Lions Club asked if they could occupy the building and run that as the Tokemoor Rail Preservation Museum. So it basically operates as a little museum, a little meeting space down in Tokemoor. Now, the Lions Club couldn't get insurance, this is my understanding, back in 1996, to actually operate that. So council, in its wisdom at the time, said, that's fine. We'll just have the same members of Tokemoor Lions Club. You have a meeting as the Tokemoor Lions Club, then you close that meeting, you'll have one as the same members, one as Tokemoor Rail Preservation Society, and in that capacity you will act as a 355 committee, and in effect, council. Saves us having to try and sublet it, gets them insurance, all those sorts of things. Now, technically, the Tokemoor Lions Club are supposed to have separate meetings and keep separate books for the Rail Preservation Society. Not sure how well that is happening. I know they certainly have a separate bank account for things that relate to that, but that's about as much as I know. Yes, that is something we probably need to take more of a look at. But the reality is, the money, I think, in that Rail Preservation Society bank account, given the fact they haven't been able to have visitors or passenger trains or anything like that that generates any income for them, has run out, and now they've got a power bill to pay. From council's point of view, there's probably a few issues that you need to consider. One is, they are operating a council facility. Even though we don't own it, we lease it, it's a council facility. It is a museum and a tourist attraction insofar as people go and have a look at it.
So it's open to the public?
Absolutely.
We had a railway museum on the way to the bottom pub. The railway museum on the left on the way to the bottom pub. Is that...
Yeah, that's the old rail station. It was open.
That is an actual museum.
So you've got that. You've got the fact that the Lions Club obviously have run out of money in that account, or are at the verge of running out of money and probably need a hand. They don't get a financial contribution. They rely on for that. They rely on. They rely on contributions made. However, on the other hand, you're also potentially creating a precedent. We do, as it stands right now, pay for the public liability insurance for the Finlay Pioneer Rail. Even though we don't have any control over that building at all, and the Finlay Pioneer Rail Committee are not a committee of council, they're an incorporated association.
Who pays their power?
Who? Finlay. They pay their power. But
is there any
again,
reason we
pay their insurance. We obviously pay Tokemoor's insurance through our own insurance policy because they're a number council.
Is it possible we could revisit the Lions getting their own? Like, just, can this not just be Lions and scrap the idea of the committee you've created? Like, can we make it more simple?
So yeah, we can talk about whether we can sublet it to the Lions Club and remove ourselves and close the Tokemoor Rail Preservation Society. Absolutely, that's an option.
But like, what do they want to do? They obviously want us to pay their bill, but what's the best way to go forward?
It depends what council wants. Does council want? Well, again, we've got the lease expiring in 2026, so one of the things we need to ask ourselves is, do we want to extend that lease when 2026 happens? And what's the consequences if we don't? Because if we don't extend the lease, is it likely that VicTrack are going to continue to maintain the station? Who knows? Is it in our interest to have the station maintained? Maybe. I've ummed and ahed on this. I've always been anti-extending the lease. I'm also anti-seeing it end up like the silos there at the same site across the road. In terms of where we stand between now and 2026, we lease it and we're not going to be able to... we're stuck with that lease until then, even if we wanted to get out. So if we lease it and Tokemoor Lions Club, in whether they're as a committee of council or as Lions, are happy to run it for us, that's probably the best outcome that we've got. If the sake of paying power bills up to $1,000 can have them do that for the next 3 years, I don't think that's necessarily the worst outcome.
Because that, yes, sir.
Councillor Cornwall-McKean, I'm just looking at their bills. and the usage breakdown, it looks like the usage has increased significantly over the last two quarters, and even, and I recognise there was a shutdown. It could be, but there was a shutdown, but that was for 4 weeks at the same quarter last year. Like, what are they doing in there?
Someone living in there?
Yeah, like, it's a significant leap.
I think they've got a bit of stuff in there. They've been painting it and doing other things in there. I think there's some memorabilia in there, but I don't know whether it's, whether they've been...
Anyway, we've got a recommendation there.
Right, though, that's a big bill.
I'm sure Matt can find out more information.
Maybe find out if it's amicable if the Lions Club absorb the Railway Preservation Society and that becomes like a subcommittee of the Toke Lions. Would that be a...
Well, that's basically what they are.
Yeah.
But so now, but if that's the case, if Lions, if we were to close down the Toke Lawn Rail Preservation Society, then we would need to actually have a sublease directly with Toke Lawn Lions Club, which is possible, but that still doesn't get around the problem. Not wanting to pay the power bills unless they want to use their Lions money.
We've moved to pay the power.
But it's the same people.
Yeah.
Same people. Yeah. So they can pay their own bill.
Well, I suspect that the Lions group will be, they've got other things that it's probably more of a favour that they've taken on to paint it and help try and maintain it.
Are you Lions?
No. But they, I'm just.
Should be.
Yeah.
Just right there.
He's got his hand in every pot. All right. All those in favour? Against?
What are we?
Well, you moved it.
What did we decide?
We're going to give him $1,000.
We're going to make $1,000. That's the resolution that's got passed. Then.
Sure. I like
so
that.
Is it,
Secretary, yeah, go for it.
Is that the only thing you want to happen?
Yeah.
8.9, Borrella Management Solution. Recommendation and endorse the Chief Executive Officer to sign the letter of intent to commence investigations and negotiations into the, what is it, Chirrup? Chirrup Solution to manage corrals. Manage corrals in the Tokemoor foreshore area. Mover and a seconder. Councillor Hattie, second Councillor. Nort. Comment?
Are we allowed to discuss this in open council? Because it's got the numbers in there.
Well, I've provided the draft letter of intent.
So I want to discuss that. So I'm not allowed to do it now?
Yeah, it is.
Right. Well, moving to close, I'm moving the committee of the whole, if you like.
Say that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Move in there. You move it.
I'll move it. Yep. Move in to close, yeah.
Yeah. Councillor Reynolds. No, committee of the whole. Councillor Reynolds, second Councillor Tarr. All those in favour? Against Harris. So, Deputy CEO, if you'd like to add further recommendations to, or dot points to the recommendation.
So, for consideration by the Council, the recommendation would be that Council, one, endorse the CEO to sign the letter of intent to commence investigations and negotiations into the CHIRP solution to manage corellas in the Tokemoor foreshore area. Two, that the CEO will provide the Council with a detailed proposal for consideration before any contracts are signed. And three, investigate the use of a collaborative grant process to fund these, to fund the project.
Initial mover and seconder are happy. There's no further amendments to that motion. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Thank you. 8.10, Tokemoor Glider. That the Council gift the Tokemoor Glider to Sportavia for them to restore, mount and maintain at the Sportavia site. The CEO is to ascertain if a deed of agreement regarding this community asset is required to facilitate the transfer of the glider from the Council's ownership to Sportavia. Mover, seconder. Councillor McNaught. Councillor Hattie. Comment.
It's sitting on the ground.
Have anyone approached the foreshore committee to discuss about any possible spots that are along the foreshore?
I don't think there's any room on there.
We've actually tried so many places. So we tried to put it more into the community. That's why it's sitting out on the ground.
But I guess there's some potential sites a bit further along the
foreshore. I think Joe Rufford, Director of Strategic Planning and Reporting, Councillor Hattie, There's a report, Appendix 1 to this report, that actually identifies the process that was undertaken with the community that did actually include consideration of sites on the foreshore, also Ingarenna Park and other sites in the community. And the publicly visible sites certainly were not approved by Transport New South Wales. I do not believe, given that that report was undertaken in May 2021, that there'll be a significant change should we go back to the community again with respect to that.
I certainly understand the locations. I read through the report as well, and I thought it was basically Ingarenna was a key spot, and I think one other spot was perhaps along the foreshore extracting the road, but a bit further along perhaps there are other alternatives that I wasn't aware that had been looked at. It was more about that they could be seen from the bridge.
I think what we can certainly say is the foreshore committee were at that point in time expressed no interest in having it relocated elsewhere within the Tokelau Foreshore Reserve precinct.
Okay. Quite busy at the moment.
It was quite clear that they weren't interested. If that's the case, that's fine, but as long as they've had opportunity, because I think that it was on their watch and on their site prior to the dismantling of
it. I can certainly assure you that they had an opportunity, the whole community had the opportunity to participate and provide comment, and certainly the sites that were identified did involve asking people what their preferred sites were.
And you had some feedback on that from?
It's contained in the report.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, but it was from the foreshore. I didn't see it.
No, we did not. It was a broad community consultation, but because the foreshore committee was so heavily involved in the development of the foreshore master plan and the being aware and the development of the actual foreshore building, and there was never any representation made or any concern expressed at all by that committee and its representative about the omission from either the foreshore master plan or future planning for the building. That wasn't high on their priority. They didn't raise that as an issue for council.
All right. Any further comment?
Is it worth anything to sell?
Look, at least it'll get maintained. It'll get looked up.
That's where the gliding happens. Gliding happens out there.
If it's a
structure that visually gives them a bit more awareness and it encourages people to win-win.
My understanding was that historically it was originally gifted to council by the previous owners of Sport Cave.
Yeah, well,
I think it's a rider made up of many glides.
It is, absolutely. It's a bit of a bitzer.
Anyway, all those in favour? Against? Carried. Thank you. A11 financial review, July to September. Recommendation that council note the second quarterly review of the 2022-23 budget and vote the funds contained therein as shown in Appendix 1. Note the September quarterly budget review statement attached also in Appendix 2. Mover and seconder? Councillor Taylor, second. Councillor Cornwall-McLean. Any comment? WCA, right,
okay,
Councillor Reynoldson.
Unfortunately, the finance manager is unable to be here at the moment. We do actually have the auditors. Well, they're not quite on site because they can't get here, but they are doing the audit remotely. Today's the last day. In terms of the actual report, the major changes, the major issues are relating to when we, if you remember, we're talking about our carried forwards and our revotes. So that was the first time that we've actually tried to do the carried forwards and the revotes as per the requirements of the local government accounting framework, as opposed to just treating everything as a carried forward. In that process, there were some jobs that weren't identified as rebates, so they've had to come forward because we've actually started work. What that has meant at the other end, there's some works that were included in our capital works program for this year that we have dropped off, and they will come back to council for consideration in the capital works program for 2023-2024. So while there's jobs that have dropped off, it doesn't mean they're not going to get done. We're just being realistic. They will not happen this financial year for obvious reasons.
Well, plus we've had 8 weeks where we can't actually do anything.
So that is what we have done. The funds spent on roads have remained the same. It's not as if we've taken money away from roads. There's more works that we've brought forward from last year that we haven't got to or are only getting to now. And at the other end, there's works dropping off.
We did have that discussion around whether or not it was too ambitious, the works program, didn't we?
We did. And we're trying to, instead of, one of the other things we're trying to do, and Talia is very strong on, and so is the CEO, is what we don't want to do is where we were in the past, where we carry forward, you know, $5 million worth of works each year. Instead of just being realistic about what's achievable this year, drop it off, and if council wants to bring those jobs back in, it does those through its capital works program, which you'll get your first look at probably in the early 2023 for the 23-24 year.
Could I just comment? Councillor Coyle McCain, I've been working with a Victorian council, and the issue with the capital works program and inflation and having insufficient budget and needing to rework budgets is something across the country affecting local government in particular and capital works programs, and they are winding back. And they also, one of the other strategies, and I'm working with them actually to try and streamline it, is to get their procurements done fast. So you know your budget, you're ready to go, you roll, you got them on within 2 or 3 weeks, and you get the projects done super quick, so the costs don't escalate. So you got more certainty, and they don't price risk into it. So the validity periods, instead of 90 days, is half that.
100%. And the issue for us, of course, is that means that we need to have our procurement process done quickly, which means we need to have the resource to do so, and we've got some shortage in engineers as well, but we are working towards, you're 100% correct, that's where we need to be.
That's where we want to be, and we might end up having to use like vendor panel more, because that does actually help us through the process. So those are the things that we are.
Councillor Taylor, just a query. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
How do we manage expectations if we've got works that we're going to do, they're in the budget, we've maybe pointed people towards them and then we withdraw them and maybe there's a discretion of whether we bring them back or not. How do we manage those expectations?
It's not easy.
It's not.
And honestly, we no one predicted 8 weeks where we cannot even get to any of the dry weather roads. We can't even put it on them because they'll sink. So we're working on potholes, obviously that's our main focus at the moment, which isn't even the resheeting. So there is a lot that will be pushed back anyway, and I can't predict that stuff.
And if you take the MDBA's predictions that were translated to us earlier, that this rain event in the Upper Murray may well be here till February or March, then...
But that's been known for a while.
Realise that.
In terms of managing expectations, I think all we can do is be as transparent as we possibly can, explain to people what the situation is, explain what the process is, and encourage them to, if they've got concerns, to bring them up through their elected members so that you can advocate for them around the table when we set the capital works program in the next year.
Yeah, I guess my question was particularly pointed where we can't do certain things and then they drop off and they're sort of not pushed forward. It's really in those circumstances that I had the question. I think it's very explainable in the current circumstances that things will be delayed. But if things basically drop completely out of the budget, then there is, you know, we talk about the term reputational risk, well, then we lose trust.
Well, I think that's important. That we obviously understand what has dropped out because we'll make that decision and then we keep a record of that to make sure that if we do want to bring it back in, that we bring it back
again. We can certainly, coming from this, if it's something that you'd find useful, we can give you some brief points about what's dropped off and why and how the process is to get them back into the Capital Works Program for 23-24 if that's useful.
That's good for our awareness then.
Of course.
To know what's...
So just on that, so when we've got the visitor services officer, 60,000 unfavourable, and then we've got 60,000 tourist info centre So I assume it's gone from wages into the information centres. We've already allocated that, have we? Is that what's happened there?
I believe so.
Yes.
What's happened there is we had $660,000 in the budget for the TOC DIC, and all we've done is, again, really, does that really need to come to council as a change? Probably not, because all we're doing is saying this money is being spent at the DIC. We did have a lump sum budget. We need to separate it into lump sum and salaries, and that's all we've done.
Interesting.
I do think there's still some work for us to do, and we did promise this, and we will get to it. I'm thinking still that the report that we're providing you with a complete line item job budget is giving you, it's almost blinding you with more information than you necessarily need. I think you need to look at functional areas as opposed to looking at how much we're spending on electricity at Apex Park, let's say. Mm. So that's where we need to get to in terms of our reporting for you. We have put on a new accountant who hopefully will free up Talia to be able to do some of improving some of that reporting work we're doing. This first quarter report, the September quarter report, is always a difficult one to do, because at the same time we're preparing this, we're also preparing the annual financial statements, so it's generally always coming to you in November rather than October. Hopefully in the next month or so we'll have some time to do that. I don't want to commit Talia on record here to the finance manager on record here that she'll have a perfect report to you completely as you like it, but we do want to work with both our responsible managers at council about how they manage their budgets over the next next 6 weeks or so, as well as looking at how we can improve the reporting to council to give you something you can actually make informed decisions about.
Just a couple that caught my eye there with the reduction in the floodplain management program and the reduction in the septic levy. A good year to be reducing that.
As soon as
we can get to that levy, yes, we will be doing it, but we can't do it.
Optics aren't brilliant.
We don't need to do any work on the levy.
The important thing there, I think, Councillor Marriott, is that council staff ensure that it comes back in your draft program for 23-24, and that you as a councillor make a note of that so you can keep us, hold us to account.
My mum lives behind the Sepulchs levy, so I'll be sure to bring
you. You will not forget that one.
Conflict of interest.
All right, any further questions? If not, the recommendation, all those in favour, against, carried. 8.12, investment policy. Revoke the investment policy adopted 17 November 21. Adopt the investment policy as attached. Note the investment guidelines attached. Moving to seconder. Councillor Hattie, second Councillor Reynoldson. Comment?
Apologies from the finance manager who is dealing with audit at the moment. So the investment policy itself is reasonably similar to the policy that you had before, with a couple of small changes. We've included a reference to our risk appetite statement, which is giving us a bit more, where previously the investment policy was based on being highly, being adverse to risk. We are now saying we're resistant to risk, and in some ways we've got a secondary risk appetite of willing to accept in some basis. So that's been built into the body of the policy. So when the finance team are looking at investments, they're now not looking to avoid risk altogether. They're looking to be resistant to it, but in some cases accept. So that's been the major change in the policy per se.
But those risks are mitigated by coming back to us month to month anyway.
But the same mitigation process in place as always has been. All this policy is doing is when the finance team look at it now, they have
a different scope to look at.
A bit more freedom to look at things that perhaps they certainly wouldn't have looked at before.
Correct.
Having said that, of course, the investments all come to council every month.
And
you can always provide further direction should you choose. And the investment policy itself is required to come to council every 12 months. That's under the ministerial investment guidelines. Finance manager has also included in here is the investment guidelines. Now, the investment guidelines are not necessarily something council adopt. That's council's own internal process, the council staff's own internal process about how they manage it. We're providing here for you not so much for adoption, just so that you've got an understanding of what happens once your policy is actually put into process by council staff. So that's there for your information as opposed for adoption. The other thing I would like to talk about, now Talia has included the local economic benefit clause in the policy. So that is saying that we will consider using our local people who provide local banking services here. My experience has been that it's a complete waste of time. Complete waste of time. Using the likes of NAB has created absolutely no pressure, whether it be financial, moral, ethical, whatever, in terms of retaining banking services here. Certainly even with the credit unions, while they do provide some limited services for people here, in terms of actually delivering any sort of retail banking service, they have no interest, no one. So my recommendation to council, my personal recommendation as opposed to the recommendation of the finance manager who has included it, and is that it's basically could be removed and we move on without the local economic benefit clause in there. Talia does mention in her report, I could go stronger than that and say I think we're wasting our time and we could just remove it all together. But that's up to you.
I agree.
If there's no reward for us to be loyal to our institution, then we're just like anyone else in the market.
The only one we've got is Bendigo, they're not giving us anything anyway. Well, probably worse than that.
Oh, Bendigo. In terms of the Bendigo rates, the issue is we get the rebate because we're basically selling.
But the rebate on top of the interest rate's still lower than everyone else. So what? So they're not doing us any favours.
Yep.
No. All right. Bloody.
So. At the moment, I've got a recommendation that we adopt the policy as attached. If someone wants to amend the policy, to remove that clause. I'll need the okay from the council.
So the mover and the second are happy to remove that clause.
Yep. So we are going to then the recommendation from Councillor Hattie and Councillor Reynoldson would be that the council revoke its investment policy adopted on 17th November 2021. Adopt the investment policy attached with the removal of the local benefit clause.
Well, there is a local benefit. We've got no problem with it, but we're not getting a local benefit.
So really,
do you have to remove the clause? Would you say there is no local benefit?
Well, no, because what it's suggesting there is that we will provide local benefit for local. So what we're saying is if you're NAB, you're getting a certain consideration in the interest rate that's offered.
Especially now that interest rates have gone up. Before it was quite insignificant. Now it's very significant.
And then note the guidelines attached.
Mm. All right. So. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Thank you. 8.13, Work Health and Safety Policy. Recommendation that the Council revoke the Work Health and Safety Policy adopted 15 March 2017 and adopt the Work Health and Safety Policy included in Appendix 1. Moving to seconder. Councillor Marriott, second Councillor Taylor. Any comment? If not, got a comment.
Councillor Cormann-McKean, I'd just like to suggest that perhaps we ask ARIC to put compliance with this policy onto our audit program coming forward. It's an important policy and it puts us in a much stronger position if we could say that we've done that and if there are any actions out there we're dealing with any risk.
Yep.
So do you want to report to ARIC?
I think just as maybe we should have a standing agenda item of proposed audits, and that might be one to put there that I think, you know, say recommended by council or something.
Yeah. So do you want that to be come out of the council resolution, or are you happy for the CEO just to include it?
Happy for the CEO. If we need to, we can make it more formal.
Yeah.
All right. All those in favour?
Tape we'd say if we didn't have this policy.
I'll give you a book to read about. Yeah. That's the first one. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Thank you. 8.14, Agency Information Guide, that the Council, pursuant to Section 21 of the Government Information Public Asset Access Act, adopt the Berrigan Shire Council Information Guide as attached in Appendix 1. Moving a seconder. Councillor Taylor, second. Councillor Marriott. Comment, sorry? Councillor Taylor, second. Councillor Marriott. Comment? Nope.
It's it is an obligation for us to comply with the GIPR Act. We need to provide a guide. The guide was last reviewed in April because we have a new council elected. We need to update it. It doesn't technically need to be adopted by council. We do so just for the avoidance of doubt.
All right. All those in favour? What's that?
Put your photos in.
Yeah, great. There's a lot of our photos are in there a lot in the annual report. That's it. Lucky they were photoshopped.
Anyway, I think it's crap. We should be able to do what we want. We shouldn't have to follow guidelines.
Duly noted.
And record. You're only ticking another couple of boxes for the. We'll put in the guidelines what we want.
Going fishing.
Yeah.
All those in favour, against? Gary, thank you. 8.15, annual report. Recommendation of the Council, adopt the draft annual report, recognising the financial statements cannot be placed on display until they are audited and returned from the audit office, which is undertaken. Financial statements will be added to the annual report once the required process is finalised. The deadline for the annual report to be published is 30 November 22 and therefore will be missed.
Is the one that was you put in that 400 pages, is that the one that's being published? Or is that hasn't been fixed up yet, has it?
What?
In that there's a few faults in it.
And those editorial comments, Joe Ruff, Director of Strategic Planning and Development, those editorial things will be fixed up prior to what would have been the publication date of the 30th of November. What cannot occur, though, is the publication of the annual report until the inclusion of the annual statement.
I understand that, but I'm just, you know, the names are still aren't in there, and that wasn't. Yes, you're talking about the highlighted stuff, is the edited stuff.
It would appear that that has not
occurred. Actually, on our copy, I have changed all that. I've gone in and done.
Yeah, so I thought you'd done it, but I was looking at the one there, and there was a heap of numbers like the evaluation of Shire assets. You only had $284,000, where it should be $284 million, and there was.
So it would appear that some of those things that will have a final.
Maybe we just know.
Not that it worries me, it's just
a draft, and that it will. Council, I'd be more than happy to resubmit it at the same time.
So we're not going to move this recommendation, we're just going to note that.
Yes, happy to
resubmit. Rather than adopt it, Council note.
Yeah. Council note 8.15. Right, 8.16, submission to IPART review of the rate peg. Recommendation endorse. The submission of the Independent Pricing and Regulatory Tribunal review and the methodology of the rate peg attached to this report.
Council saw this submission at the strategy and policy workshop earlier this month. Given the time frame that it needed to be submitted, it wasn't able to bring it to a council meeting for...
Sorry, Joe? Councillor Dr. Ruffin, sorry.
Wasn't able to bring it to a council meeting for formal adoption before submitting, so I'm hoping council will endorse it.
After they're submitted.
Yes.
Somebody like to move it? Councillor Taylor, second. Councillor McNaught, comment?
The only change was made was the ones that were recommended at SPW.
All those in favour? Again, Gary, thank you. Late report. Okay. CEO has just left the building. 8.17, sale 27 Davis Street. I'll have to go over to this and get into the other report. These late reports, we've got to get away from them.
Yeah,
we try hard, Mr. Mayor, but...
Well, just leave them till the next month. Not this one, but...
Well,
you know
again,
I mean.
We try to, if that's possible, Mr. Mayor. Conscious it's not great. And I do apologise for this.
Well, I wasn't at the strategy and policy, but there was a lot of things added to this that weren't at the strategy and policy.
Oh, this report?
Yeah.
There's a lot more in this agenda.
Yes, absolutely. SPW is very, very good.
It wasn't a report.
Okay.
Hang on, something's going wrong. Yeah, I know, it's got to refresh. You've dropped out. Anyway, you read. Have you got a copy of it there? Because I can't seem to get back into it.
Thank you.
It's not liking it. I want the other one. So where is it? Oh, you've got it. Yeah, okay, cool. All right. So, recommendation that the council sell 27 Davis Street, lot 22, develop deep...
Should we close, council?
Yeah. No.
Can't be.
Sorry, that was a bit more abrupt than I'd hoped for, Councillor Russell. I think it is very important that this decision, whichever way you make it, is made in open council. Technically, yes, it could be closed council, but that's obviously, you don't have to close it if you don't wish. And I believe this one is something that you probably need to make in open council. That's my personal view. It's obviously up to you as councillors what you choose to do.
I know.
Certainly, I think even from the CEO's perspective, she'd prefer the decision made in open council on this.
Okay, so the recommendation is to sell 27 Davis Street. Lot number 22775660 for $300,000 exclusive of GST. Delegate the Mayor and the Deputy Chief Executive Officer to prepare, sign and seal all required documents and set aside the proceeds of the sale to construct additional key worker housing. Have a mover and a seconder. Move Councillor Taylor. Second Councillor Cornwall McLean. Comment?
Yes? Would Eric be happy with this?
I think there's sufficient pros and cons outlined in the paper for them to be happy. I think there's benefits. Good. It's not that far off the mark.
Yep, right. That's it.
Yep, no further comment?
Well, it was along the lines of the SPW discussion.
Oh, I wasn't there, so if you want to...
I seem to remember a discussion around it. Sort other information we should put together.
Yep. All right. Okay. You don't want a division or anything?
No, that's up to you.
Okay, so all those in favour of the against, Carrie, thank you. I'll just keep this, Joe, for a minute.
Yep.
Is there anything else? There's no other reports, is there?
No.
No, got to go back to 818 now.
Yeah, I know.
That's the problem.
The problem. Problem is, you've got to go back to your chair as well.
Oh, no, I just wasn't sure what you're
talking about. That's all right. I appreciate that. Sorry. Yeah, 818, thank you. You need to talk to this, no? Okay, all right. 818, development application 1723DAD7, in-ground fiberglass swimming pool. Recommendation, the council refused development application 1723DAD7 for the installation of the in-grounds fiberglass swimming pool as proposal does not generally comply with the development controls of Chapter 2 of the Berrigan Development Control Plan 214 and potentially will impact on the residents' amenity and character of the existing streetscape in the neighbouring environment along Baruga Street. Can I have a mover and a seconder? Councillor McNaught, second. Councillor Hattie, comments? I'll take for and against the recommendation. So does anyone want to speak for the recommendation? Yeah, you do?
Look, I will, because it's an unusual lot, and I know the recommendations were a lot of pools are built in the rear of the buildings, which isn't ideal here because we actually have a pumping station for the Tocum Township for pumping, I think it's a grey water septic system. The system is there, and so it's narrowed them down quite a bit for where they could put something. And as far as out the front goes...
Are you speaking against it or for?
Oh, I'm for. I guess
so
I'm...
The for
rejecting it.
You're rejecting it.
Oh, sorry. I'm against the rejecting.
Sorry.
I'm used to bloody. Yeah.
No. So I want someone to speak for the recommendation. Why the refusal should be there, and then I'm happy to take counter argument. Does anyone want to speak for the refusal? Councillor Ruffin. No, Dr. Joe Ruffin.
Certainly, councillors, the director of strategic planning development, I can certainly speak in terms of been a comprehensive report and assessment done with respect to this particular application. There's also been public consultation and objections that have been identified. The council officers have taken all of that into consideration and have had conversations with the developer, and the recommendation is that it does not generally comply with the development controls of council development control plan, and that it will potentially also impact residential amenity and the character of the existing streetscape in the neighbouring environment. So notwithstanding that there may well be issues in relation to that the site may be restrictive, in that respect, our development control plan is very clear in many respects in relation to what development is acceptable and able to be undertaken within our streetscape. And you're essentially opening up the private space and activities and noise elements to that are going to impact others' amenity.
Isn't it behind fence?
It'll be behind the fence, but the actual pumping, the noise of etc. was going to have some neighbour impacts as well.
Is that behind the fence as well?
And we have restrictions in terms of the heights of fences, so in terms of within the street that would also impact that. So it was felt that there was sufficient screening of the private activity that would be compatible with the neighbouring.
One of the objection dot points around that the pool would operate 24 hours a day, I found that a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah, I don't think council officers have given much.
They didn't edit that.
No, that's provided there.
So the issue I have, if no councillor wants to speak for the recommendation, it's a bit hard for me to take anyone to speak against it.
I'm happy. I can't see any reason. I'm only a layperson, but I can't see any reason to go against what the council's recommended. They're the experts. They're paid to do it. And I've got just what I looked at it. I can't see why I should go against it.
Just a question.
Sorry. I'll take that as a speaking for it. I'll take someone who wants to speak against it.
I'll raise the unusual nature of the block. It's pretty hard to have create a precedent here because of it is an unusual block because of they don't really have much choice, and the odour at the back of the house is quite strong a lot of times. So if you were able even to try and jam something in there, it would be very awkward. I guess as far as the streetscape goes and changing it, as was mentioned a moment ago, the fences are quite high, so I'm not sure a pool there will make really much difference to what the street might look like. And as far as the noise and of the running of the pump system, again, there's ways and means of making sure that is minimised. I think I saw somewhere that, the neighbours were concerned about frogs and other things coming in there. Well, I mean, they're going to be there anyway. They're not necessarily drawn to the pool and as such. But is there, regarding to the LEP changes, is that likely something that would be changing anyway?
This is something we could update now, the development control, couldn't we?
The development control plan does need
updating.
There's no disputing that the development control plan isn't due for review. Part of the issue in terms of that there's finding the schedule that was to actually just follow that through, have the LEP review completed, and then start to undertake this. One of the key things when you look at our current development control plan is that there are very... It, based on a principle of private activities, are generally moved towards the back of the house and the public facing elements of our development control plan. And the principles around that, levels of amenity, neighbourhood, streetscape, etc., are very much about that. It's front facing. Now, some of that will need to be changed because sometimes just good environmental design means that you might want to reorientate some of that. So those are the sorts of things that I think we'll be looking at changing going forward, that we probably may not be quite as strict as that. But in relation to something of this particular nature, in relation to a swimming pool, allowing people to have barbecue areas and very active recreation spaces at the front of their homes, where the way in which people use that space can have uncontrolled impacts going forward, that's probably something that we won't be looking at in our DCP review. As this stands at the moment, it does not comply. It's been put forward to council, vote for a council.
Councillor Taylor has a question. I have a question as well. Those two facility buildings at the front of the two adjacent places, what are they?
That's a house.
No, there's a house on the block, and then if you go to the right, which is heading towards Main Street, there's two structures at the front of the houses. Well, I'm suggesting that all those houses face that way, front way, don't they?
You mean the big fence, the big black fence?
No, I'm going to on page 90 of 127. So it shows
right.
So those other two structures, what would they be?
Look, I don't know. Look, we can ask the manager of planning.
Because somebody's built something there in the front of their property, which has obviously changed the streetscape. Because if you have a look at the places on the left, they're all set back. And if they were to build anything in their blocks, they could only build it in the front of their blocks as well, unless it opens up both sides, does it?
This is the front.
That's the back.
You're looking at the back.
But that's where it's saying that the pool wants to go,
no,
isn't it?
No, the pool's going to be
at the front.
So why is that marked in red then?
Yeah. It may well be showing that they've got limited options in the back.
So, Councillor Taylor, my principal question is, so is the main reason or the primary reason that putting a pool, obviously we have pools in a lot of our residents, at least the mayor keeps going,
500.
But is it really the issue of having it in the front yard, streetscape, is that the primary reason for
In terms of the development control plan as it stands now, and the reason why is that pools are actively, they are the attractor, they are something that can create people congregating and a lot of noise within that. So that's probably one of the principles why we're in terms of development control plans, and it's recommended that they are not, particularly in smaller residential areas, but they're not part of it. That active private space is generally, as a planning principle, at the back or to the side of a building.
So would it be fair to say that where we do have pools in residential areas in the Shire area, that almost all of them would be in the back of the backyard? And that's unusual for what we're doing here.
Yes, and that's why it has come to council.
Dr. Ruffin, is there also an issue with setbacks?
There was a 1 metre setback. Mm. So yes, that therefore then meant that there wasn't even. So there may well be the odd example within the Shire. I think you'll sort of see where you might see pools in the front yard or to the side of a house, and so it's visible from the street, but there are sufficient setbacks from neighbours. Remembering that all of this is very much about how we minimise the impact of a development on neighbourhood character and how it's going to be used in terms of other users and neighbours.
All right. Anyone else want to speak for the recommendation?
I would speak for the recommendation. I don't
I think it's all good and well to say we'll try and minimise the noise of the fuel pumps. You actually don't know how noisy they're going to be until they're in there. And I think given the location, the likely location of the fuel pumps, how I imagine they would have to be in close proximity to the pool. I'm also imagining, I mean, they've said in their submission, number was it? Number 19, that they often are at the front of their property on the veranda. They obviously use that space themselves. So I think just the noise for one, and I suppose reversing the use of the land. I appreciate that it's a difficult block, but they've obviously bought it in that shape. So on that basis, I would support the recommendation and refuse the application for the pool.
Anybody else want to speak against it?
I will. The fences are very high. I can't see how a pool will make any difference to the streetscape at all. And given what's already there, I imagine they are already using that front area for recreation more than one might usually if one didn't have a fence of that height. So I accept there may be some noise from the pumps. They're not as noisy as they used to be. It's a brand new pool initiative. Perhaps if it was accepted, they'd be, you know, requested to take that into consideration. But otherwise, I just don't understand why people can't use the front yard the way they want to, given the height of the fence.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, if just a question. If they
gone.
If they came forward and said, "Okay, well, we're going to be 4.5 metres from boundary," would that have made would they have removed that as an issue from your perspective? As
it wouldn't change the issue. It may do in terms of the location of the pump and any noise in relation to that. It's still the size and how it's going to be used, and that it's not a development that is normally associated with the front of a property. So therefore, our development control plan has very general guidelines about what development is accepted within our development control plan. There's nothing in our development control plan. No, you will not put a swimming pool in front of the front. But there's the intent and the principle is, when you read the development control plan, that the streetscape and any development needs to be sympathetic and not unique, one would sort of say, in setting precedence so that, because you're looking to increase the overall visual amenity of a streetscape. So in some respects, a pool's not going to... Quite clearly, a pool is not going to distract from the visual amenity of a streetscape because it's at ground level. But the activity and the noise that it can generate because it's active recreation may well do so. So this is why it has come to council, because this is the council officer's recommendation. It's not strictly prohibited by the development control plan, but it's not a development that would uniformly be accepted and regarded as adding to the additional development for active recreation in the front yards of houses is not something that we would like to be seeing happening all the time. I think speaking for it in some respects, is that yes, it's the same thing as yes, we want to continue to support council officers and ensure that they have considered both sides of the argument. There are certainly the argument that the block itself and the structures at the back do limit their options.
All right. Anyone else want to speak for it? If not, I'll put the recommendation. I need a division. All those in favour of the recommendation? Against? Carried.
Names, Mr.
Mayor. Councillor McNaught, Councillor Reynoldson, Councillor Taylor, Councillor Hannan, 4. You can work out the rest. Deputy Mayor, Councillor Hady, Councillor Cornwall McLean. The DCP does need to be updated. It's another job. Right, 8:20 is it? 8:20? 8:19? Trying to get there.
Yes.
It's a serenity, isn't it?
So you retired.
The council approved development application 2623DA5 for a double story brick veneer dwelling and attached garage subject to the following conditions. Mover and a seconder.
Yep.
Councillor Marriott, second. Councillor Cornwall McLean. Comment. Anyone want to speak for the recommendation?
Good. Looks good.
Anyone want to speak against it?
We
don't need to if we haven't got anyone.
No, I'm happy to see it there. Looks good.
Yeah.
So there's no restrictions on two-storey houses?
Yeah, there's
already two-storey buildings.
Yeah, yep, I'm just wondering whether there's some places you can't go up. Right. Whether that was acceptable.
All right, put the recommendation, call for division. All those in favour, against, carried unanimously. Come on, Ireland. There's one to go, isn't there?
Yeah, it is. Next time we have a water rally.
There's only one to go. I'm looking at my bar and there's not much left in it.
This is where the market goes.
Did you say 20 or 21 first? I've gone too far.
Okay, it's moved on.
Yep, recommendation that the council... the direction of council is sought, sorry. Right. What opinions do we have here?
No.
So there's no recommendation, we have to...
This is the one you want to knock down.
Yeah.
So the council owned it.
So yeah, it's the building behind.
There's two buildings on that site. So you've got
I don't know the site.
Okay, so this is the old hardware shop. So on that site, you've got two buildings. At the front, you've got the actual old hardware shop, which at the moment is occupied under licence by Tokemoor Rotary. At the back, you've got a bit of a broken down old building, which is in poor condition. at the back, plus an old fence, which is half broken. And what we're looking for here is where the council is willing to remove that building at the back, plus the fences and tidy up the site.
Has there been any consultation with the other shop owners or people in town who like their village look? Because I know there were some people wanting to lease it to run a business out of it because it wasn't old.
So it's not that decision. This is...
The building's actually in a really bad state. So
this is not the main building at the front. There's two buildings. There's the main shop at the front, and then there's the one at the back. This is the little brick building at the back, not the main building.
Yep.
And in terms of the building at the front, while it's not the item here, there is a resolution. Yes. Council has already passed a resolution, basically giving council the okay to demolish that building at the front. We haven't acted on it because we're not in the process, not in the position to develop the car park yet. You can rescind that if you choose. That's an option to you. However, the new plan for the car park, when it comes, will more than likely include some sort of commercial operations on that frontage. But that work all needs to be done. In terms of leasing it, the building to anybody else, I have responded to two people who have asked for leases there on the basis that no council is not intending to release anybody until it determines what it wants to do with the car park design.
I recommend we knock it down because it's probably going to cost us more to do it in the future if we don't do it now.
So we knock in the hole?
No.
Just
the
brick building
in
the back.
That
concrete block building at the back that is actually falling apart.
So in the case of do it,
so no, I realise that. So if the proposal down the track is to put shop fronts along that thing, why are we keeping that old building there as well?
Because we're not doing it yet, and you made an arrangement with Tokemore Rotary. They needed somewhere to put the second hand shop. And until such time as we're ready to do the work, there was no reason.
12 by 12, that's right, wasn't it? 12 months by 12 months.
Is it? Well, but it expires at Christmas.
That's what I mean. It's been nearly 12 months.
That's correct.
We still haven't made a decision yet. Okay.
No, we haven't had a design.
Okay, so you're saying we're not.
I want to do it up, so knock it down.
Bowl it over. You're saying that. Second?
Well, only I'm happy to bowl over the brick bit of building at the moment. Yeah.
That's all we're talking about.
And we'll discuss the other stuff. Right, so move Councillor Reynolds, second Councillor Hattie.
Mm.
Any further comment? If not, I'll put it. Against? Carried. Thank you.
Just very quickly, have we talked to let the... We're not just arriving at the second-hand shop with the bulldozer, are we? And we've been...
And a hoot of Emma.
No, it's three blokes with sledgehammers.
Yeah, we're just, we've spoken to them.
We will, yes, they're aware, but certainly we will consult them about the actual process.
Yeah. Just to catch them off guard,
Ted. Yeah, that's right. Wait.
Never expected.
Look, Ted, you've had some quiet time. It's about time to start working again.
It's about to amp up. Yeah. 221, development terminations for the month of October. Recommendation is Council note this report. Can I have a mover and a seconder? Councillor Marriott, second Councillor McNaught. There's a significant backlog there, Joe.
There is indeed. And I think... as council can see, that there actually is no slowdown, but what we can say is that we are now quite hopeful. We've now finished the recruitment process in our planning and building department. So we're hoping once we've got staff up to speed, which generally a 3-month period, we can actually get fully.
So how many staff are you employing?
We've employed we've just conducted interviews for a new admin support assistant that can actually help with processing issues once they actually get into the planning portal and getting things on. We've employed.
You've interviewed or employed?
We've interviewed, and so we hope to be appointing.
So you said 3 months to get them up to speed. What about if they're not up to speed in 3 months?
Certainly at this stage we have every reason to believe that we will get them
right.
To
okay.
Up to
speed. That's all right.
Pretty quick. Yep.
Who, Joe or the employee?
Both. Yes,
right. That's good. That's
how much
all
are you outsourcing to Habitat? What's that costing?
I'd have to take that question. But,
one of the things we are doing is at the moment on the weekends, every second Saturday, Maureen is doing a chunk of the easier work. She's saving up to go away because it was going to cost us $700 per thing like shed, and that's just crazy. So she's going to. She's doing that work for us to help us. I don't want to do it permanently, but it is helping us get ahead.
We have a training town planner on involvement.
Yes, so we've just appointed, basically finalised with an internal recruitment process where it's a trainee town planner. They've commenced already some of their studies in relation to that. When they come back to maternity leave, they'll return as a trainee town planner. We have an additional admin resource that's been interviewed for this week. In fact, we have that appointment. We've also interviewed for a new assets and facility maintenance officer to be able to pick up the workload in terms of where the building part of it has been slowing down.
Yeah.
All
right.
So those assessments.
So separate to this. So where's all the money coming to pay for these? We just seem every time I turn up, we put another three on, so we've got to be getting the money from somewhere.
Sometimes it's churn.
How many employees are we up for? Once these are online, how many will we be up to then
at the moment?
It's 102 in the annual report.
There are some costs attached to this. One of the elements.
I'm not worried about this. This is a general. I'm not worried about the planning. This is just a general statement.
So the
about
planning people will come from the money that we that they pay to us to actually manage the planning process.
So we're taking it fees.
Yeah, so that has traditionally gone back into the bucket, but we're going to keep it isolated. So that's always that they pay, that community pay us a fee to actually manage planning. We haven't had the resources, so we're putting that money.
Following the last meeting, when Councillor Ellison asked the same question, I have spoken to you.
not a silly question.
No, no, it's not. I'm not saying it's silly. I've got to actually try and answer it. I spoke to a finance manager who tells me year on year salaries and wages for this time as opposed to last time, or this year as opposed to last year in the budget, is about $10,000 up.
What's the gross figure then? Gross figure. I don't even know what that is. What's our biggest cost?
Are we talking
5.5 million or 7.5 million? Or?
So you'll have a set of financial statements very soon for last year, which will give you that guidance. But what I will do is I will ensure that a report comes to SPW with information on our workforce and our wages bill.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to ask. I just think HR itself, I'd like to know a bit more about it and in terms of how many people we have on and what roles.
So what I'll do is I'll prepare a report between myself, Sam, and Talia, and sorry, I won't leave you out, Karina.
Yeah. Just in light, and both out, like what outdoor.
The report will include an idea on our size, where they sit, what we're paying, turn, and also what the council's role is with workforce development and HR. So you've got some responsibilities in there, and there's also some things that are very clearly marked for the CEO.
What I'm very interested in too, we put a lot of staff on, and they're always here. They're not out doing the actual work. It just seems like we're just pushing for red tape all the time.
Unfortunately,
government.
That's not entirely true. There is a lot of people. We've put a lot of people on out there. We can't get labourers at the moment.
We use the numbers to go back to the oven and say, well, every time you tell us to do this, we've got to whack this on and we're not doing that.
100%. The CEO is right. We have put on a lot of staff outside. They just don't tend to come for morning tea like the staff at the office do. We maybe need to organise a function where you can go and meet these staff a bit more, especially the outdoor staff. When you say that they're not doing additional work out there, well, they're doing additional work. Unfortunately, part of cost shifting and regulatory shifting is the burden of all the additional compliance we're being asked to provide is certainly falling on the shoulders of the workforce we have. It's not as if we've got people here are just saying, well, it's literally... So coming back to some of the other things we've discussed today, one of the reasons why we have some of these things that have popped up is because we have made decisions in the past that there are certain things that we are not going to do because that would mean putting more staff. So when that happens, this is what can happen.
So anyway, we'll put a proper WHMS report together.
HR.
Things like and our current staff costs. I know a significant amount of the
so what it might be worthwhile doing, and I'm pitching this all out, is that perhaps we provide a quarterly report on this for you to SPW.
That would be great. There are some additional elements I think are important to understand. Mm-hmm. Headcount, vacancy, work pressures and staff as a result of the vacancy. Recruitment strategies, retention concerns me. These are to churn. We need to stop the churn. So what are our strategies? So I don't just want, because I've had this issue in other areas, I don't just want numbers. I'd like to know about what are we doing about issues that are in there.
Culture.
And I'd also like to know a little bit more about staff satisfaction. You know, do we have risks in key positions? We're losing Gary. It's not great. And are we conducting regular temperature checks to make sure we've got that cultural piece working? And I think we've got responsibilities to that. I think that all needs to be folded in.
But lots to take in there.
That's fine.
So some of those things we do. So first off, we have a workforce development plan which council adopts every year, which includes some of those strategies for trying to reduce turn and recruit. What we do need to do though, perhaps in this quarterly report, is use the workforce development plan as a framework for reporting back to you on what's actually happening. We do exactly what we call them pulse surveys, and it's like taking the pulse, which are short surveys we do every quarter with our workforce, and they provide us with some basics between 1 to 5, how you're feeling, and what's one thing you would do to improve things. Certainly we can bring some of that de-identified information through into this report. But yeah, so we're doing those every quarter. What I think we do is we just bring that forward to SPW as well.
There is always generic numbers out there that the percentage of your workforce are always looking for a job, percentage of your workforce are on leave, percentage of your workforce are whatever.
At the moment, look, just keeping people because everywhere else is paying more. It's really hard.
Yeah, and that is one. That is one thing. And I mean, you know, sometimes you may, I don't know, it's you know, do you put more authority and ask for a bigger output of that authority and you pay them accordingly?
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? Rather than having seven of someone, have three of someone and you pay them more so that they actually take on more responsibility as opposed to push it down the line.
Yeah. Sure. Again,
sure, you're looking for something more to do, aren't you?
Certainly pushing down a lot more of responsibility down the chain.
Come on, mate, I don't take it personally. Right, 8:22, Eric. Minutes. Council receive and note the report.
Yes.
That's just a report for noting. 8:23, Council Professional Development reporting again.
Okay.
I can just note it, but it's there.
I have to report that.
Yep. 8:24, Action List report. Council can note that as well. Yes, you can.
We note getting our the line in the sand about our action list. Are we going to current council action list as opposed to previous?
Oh, yes.
We are trying to get to it. We have got to do
is that all right? No response.
We've got to do an audit of the previous council stuff.
Yes. No, correct. Yeah.
Jack's sort of starting it soon. Well, we've got a plan. Let's just say we've got a plan on how we're actually going to get it done.
I wholly understand. There needs to be the line in the sand. There is a bit of carryover, but yeah, I get it.
Yep.
8:25. This is a report for noting as well. Charges. We get some clarity around that, do we? No.
Well, the information, the report is hopefully the clarity to you.
Mm.
If there's action you want to take, you can. I'm not recommending you do.
No.
That's
I'm not.
Is there a truck wash at Berwick?
Yes.
Where?
That's
the sewer farm.
Out on Cobram Road? Past the race course?
It's not quite
this side of the race course, pardon me.
It's a map, it's $1.02.
It's the same price.
I assume 91 GST is a dollar. So it's the same price.
Yeah,
right. 8:26, citizenship. We've done that, which was great. 9, notice of motion. Questions about notice? Yes, you did.
You did.
Motion that councillor nominate Carly Marriott to do council's position representative of the traffic committee with the mayor as a proxy.
Could I see a CV, please, Ivan?
Yeah, that's good.
I'll show you my odometer. No, thanks for that. That's good.
Do I need to?
There's a motion.
Yeah. So somebody like to move that? Councillor Cornwall Queen, second Councillor Taylor. The motion becomes a recommendation. All those in favour? Again, it's carried. Thank you. Item.
Officially attended.
I've already been.
He wails influence without having to take any. Confidential matters. We have nil. Motions without notice or questions without notice. Fire. Let's start with you, Carly. Dr. Murray, it's offside.
Minor for Rohit, so I'm going to have to email Rohit.
Yep.
I'll wait for the
report. Councillor Taylor.
I had some questions for Rohit, but there's not much point.
Ooh, Rohit is.
So just email them to him, and if you want to CC me, I can.
Okay.
That way we get
It's probably not fair to bring him in and slam him with from now and then send him back out. So we email him, then he's got time to digest them.
Really? And I know we've had this, I know we've got an issue that we're addressing, but again, it can be, provided we actually get a response to in a timely manner, and if that's not happening, by all means, come back to the CEO. But if you email questions to us in between meetings, we can certainly address them much quicker than waiting.
Councillor Reynolds.
market night, Matt. So we've gone through the traffic, so then they've only got to get the alcohol.
That's correct. So there's been a change in the advice that we have got from our solicitors. In the past, we were told by our solicitors that the council could not delegate the setting of alcohol-free zones. That is not the case, apparently, and you have already delegated that power to the CEO when you set your delegations up.
It's
and
only suspension, I can't change it.
Only suspending it temporarily, and the CEO has now delegated that power on to myself and to Joe Ruffin and Matt Miller. So between one of the three of us, probably Matt Miller, we will issue that suspension. So that's, we just needed to wait until the road was closed because we weren't going to actually suspend an AFZ if we're going to have trucks driving up and down the road.
So I can tell them that it will go ahead?
Yes. Absolutely. And it'll be formally notified.
I have a...
No, that's okay.
Speedy in Tokemoor, I've been contacted from residents there. Some of their emails to council allegedly have not been responded to, and it's becoming a problem. So I don't know what action other than cleaning we might be taking. But
should we check out to see whether they're not Banksy's
on the
first?
On the West Walk, there was one on the RSL last week.
They haven't accepted them yet.
I've got pictures they've sent me.
No, that's fair enough.
Oh,
if you can send those to us, that'd be cool. We'll check the CRM.
I'll ask.
I think we should ask our tourism officer, because if they're Banksy's, that'll attract tourists. So maybe you think we should put the rumour out that they're all Banksy's and people come and see them.
But there's allegations that there are some under-occupied youth, I don't know, and they stay tagging, so they might know or be identifying themselves in some way. My bugbear, the Japanese encephalitis vaccine. While Goulburn Valley Health have agreed to allow Berrigan residents use their services, they're not going to be back to Cobram until 28th December, and they won't have enough to supply all of us. Murrumbidgee Local Health, good on them running something in Leeton and Griffith. That's not very helpful for us. So
we've had it in Berrigan.
You
get it in Berrigan.
You can get it in Berrigan at the doctor.
At a GP.
Yeah, at the cost of $300. Yeah.
No, nothing. I got mine. I got it last week.
There you go. But they told us that it would be $300.
No, that was the rules were changed. It was originally if you're under 50, it was. But now they've opened. Yeah. So as long as you do 3 or 4 hours outside a day, you cost you nothing.
And then we have the difficulty of not being able to get a GP appointment.
Well, you sit in there and you spend 3 hours waiting for the GP and
even
2 seconds to get the jab.
The GP clinics are having the same issues finding vaccine as well. So.
Oh, I'm aware of the shortages. But if Murrumbidgee could do something for people on the side of the river, that would be great.
Well, I just said about the mosquito man.
That's great. It's the vaccine I'm talking about.
Yeah, no,
but that's part of it.
But we can't get it in Berriga. There's no vaccine from Berriga.
There isn't. We all went to Cobram and lined up.
A lot of
people got there and they ran out.
Okay, well, Berriga can help.
But you can't get an appointment.
Get into doctors for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And Finley probably will be reluctant to take new patients.
And see, and
maybe.
Don't forget, this is why I think Berrigan medical practice was offering that they would treat other people, but then people actually need their medical history.
So they're running clinics in Griffith and Leeton. They're just not running them in our shire. That's
all right.
So what would you like council to...
Well, when you give me the information you're going to give me, then I can ring Jill Loveford and I can press her on both issues.
Yeah.
But I need the first lot of information first.
You do, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Moving on.
Yes, I had a commendation for Bianca on her social media work. People are very pleased with that, so please pass on the well done. I was also advised, though, that we have a media@Berriganshire email address, and it seems to be a black hole. So I don't know if anyone's actually receiving it, but people are sending emails and saying responses or bounces. The final issue that was raised with me, given the weather and the prolific rain we've had, the footpath at Tokemoor, where someone's with a walker, we don't have any grates or ramps, and someone is taking their mother to the hairdresser, and in the end they couldn't get her up on the footpath without her soaking. So some places have some metal grates, ramps on the footpaths, so you can go up without putting your feet into the water as it goes down the footpath. So they suggested that
I think I know it. Yeah, really what you're sort of saying is because we've got the concrete ones that go down, then the water's running over them.
That's
right.
And yet in flood time, if you've then got the metal
ramping,
it's
a slipping.
But I think there are standards around how they...
Yeah, I'm sure there are. But there's such a thing, we just don't have that's it.
Really need rowing.
Yeah.
One issue I was presented with to me, which doesn't really fall within council's responsibilities, I don't believe, but I'm interested to hear some advice. The local preschool and daycare centres are having issues with children who are sort of moving from one... them problematic, but perhaps that's not fair to them, moving from one centre to another, and they're bouncing around, and the carers don't have the education to be dealing with these children. So they're thinking about banding together to try and get some education at the higher level that can then be filtered down to staff through staff meeting, because time is an issue, staff shortages, etc. Is there some sort of grant or something?
Isn't that an early intervention thing, Jo?
I think what that is that there's a couple of things. There was a network, originally a network, that was attached to the Barragan Geraldine Community Services Network, where it was an early childhood education network. And Sharon Sewell, who worked currently now with InterReach, was actually, I believe, the convener of that. So that was a network where the funded childcare centres and preschools were actually providing support to each other. So if that network has probably fallen off being supported, I believe, possibly over COVID. So I can get that information and have a chat with you.
That'd be really helpful.
About that.
Yeah.
Because I would suggest that there's something, this would be starting, if it's related to the needs of the particular children that are bouncing around, then there may well be some of the breakdown that people spoke about when I did the children's family strategy about the referral pathways are just not there anymore since the NDIS come in. And so service providers themselves and the families, services are there, but they just don't know how to act.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's putting pressure on staff who are already stretched, which then passes that stress through to the provider. Thanks, Joe.
That's all you had, Councillor Hattie.
Just a quick question. This is just a councillor report, so we have a...
No, you have your delegate report in a minute, but ask the question.
I just had a question there. I had a quote that I forwarded to you, Joe, regarding the library.
The library gate?
The library gate. I just wondered whether you'd had a chance to look at that. And
did you put some funding with it?
I'm sure there's a grant somewhere.
I can certainly say at this stage, Councillor Hattie, I have not. I've been off on leave for the last 10 working days. So I haven't looked at it in that time. So I'll be certainly having a look at it, and I'll have a chat to our building and facilities maintenance office. I have to work with that and our risk manager as well in terms of is it covering off the risks in terms of the solution.
Yeah.
And at the same time, too, does it meet the requirement of the funding grant that requires that be a funding test?
Right, delegates report. Backwards. You go. Yeah, you go. Backwards.
All right. Look, I've spent, as I mentioned earlier, I've spent quite a bit of time working with the Foreshore Committee at TOPE to try and gather the information that was required by council so that they could see that there was a path, if you like, for all the information to be gathered and then make sure we're ticking the boxes that Shire have and that's been raised through the reports that have been out there to effectively make sure that we've got a plan forward. And so I think I mentioned earlier.
So is that plan forward for incorporation or is it a separate entity? Or
No, it's more about, I think I see the plan forward at the moment is developing a website that ticks the boxes that we need to Tick. Now, if that involves incorporation at some stage, I think this needs to happen regardless. And now that's for the foreshore market, and as I mentioned,
which is happening this weekend. So have any of those compliances changed from what have been brought up to?
I'm sorry.
So they're running a meeting this weekend. Running a farmers market this week. Or market this weekend. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know about.
Well,
that.
The sign's been up for a week.
Yeah.
Okay. It's cancelled, is it?
Have they been told not to?
I don't know.
No. Weather. Yeah, I think they elected to cancel it because it's so sudden on the foot.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I guess we need to, and I guess why I'm bringing this up, it's taken a little while to get to this point, but
yeah.
There's, I think we've established some protocols and some plans to move forward, and I think there's an opportunity for council to also, that I've put forward to Matt to develop a meeting with the group, which I mentioned earlier, just to try and...
So your work... So I just want to get clear in my head. So
I've been trying to be a link between council and...
So we've got a recommendation on the books that we're going to take away the responsibility of the foreshore committee at the moment.
The delegation.
Delegation, correct. And that they were going to work towards being incorporated to run the foreshore markets. Now, I know you've got a rescind motion there, but so have you been working with him for that direction or a different direction?
Well, I've been working with the group with the idea that if we develop a plan forward that works for council and ticks the boxes that council means and what those boxes are to make sure.
So that is that on delegation of ARIC or is that on delegation of council?
I've been working with trying to work with council to develop a system that ticks the boxes they need, and this is about gathering all the information like insurance for people at the market, as well as bookings and management of the whole system. I gather they're looking to try and develop a system online that can do all that, which also.
So what I'm trying to say, Councillor Hattie, is that you're preempting that the motion will be rescinded, as opposed to working what council's decision is. Is that what's happening?
Yes, I suppose I am, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, we need a plan forward. We obviously need a plan for, you know, with regard to the town beach as well. Yes, there's probably some changes that are going to happen there regardless, but I guess if we can establish a good working relationship, which I think was probably difficult up until recently, but I think we've actually got a really good way forward that... will allow, I guess, in by and large, the status quo to continue, but with some checks and balances in place that tick all the boxes that need to happen.
What else have you got there, sorry?
I guess we've also attended a Murray Border Flying Club luncheon, which was really interesting to talk with the team there, and they've worked very closely with council over time and very appreciative of that going forward. With regard to the flooding around Toke, Keogh Drive, there's some issues with that, which the staff have been really good trying to help get on top of the issues that are there, but we've identified a number of pipe sizes, things like that need to be addressed, which I know staff are all over, and I look forward to getting kept in the loop on that point. We feedback from people around town that they've been much appreciative of the work that the team have done to try and...
We just need to be careful that we don't drift into the operational side of
I understand
council
that. Yeah,
because
I hope
the staff are getting direction from the staff, from the council. And whilst if the residents aren't happy with what the staff have done, then the residents need to come back through the channels and then we need to bring it up as opposed to interjection. Because that's where the line crosses. And if we cross that, then
I'd like to think I'm not stepping over.
As long as you clear the lines there, because I get a lot of that trail as well.
And most of the work that I've done so far is about getting my head around what's actually happening.
Yeah.
And
information gathering is fine.
Yeah.
But
so that's pretty much it. And if there's something there that I think someone needs to be aware of, well, I usually either ring
and
the
through the chains of command.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool.
As far as actual works on the ground, that's not my space.
No.
And it's really and during the flooding emergency, it was important that people need to be aware of what's happening. and obviously capture the information, which is what we've been doing.
Okay.
I also met with John Williams at the Tokum Aerodrome. He was looking to talk about potentially improving some of the site in the form of perhaps a generator or something like that. He's just doing some work in the background there to make it sort of like it's a 24-hour. If there's a power loss, there's a way of ways and means of making the light system work. Well, at the moment, they're not proposing to do anything that I. And there's nothing in there. He's just doing some investigation in the background to see what might be involved. And he asked me along.
That's a castle.
Yeah, well, look, I'm just giving you. We had the meeting there, and I believe there's some.
Again, there's a forum there at the user group.
Oh, absolutely, and I've mentioned that to John too.
Yeah, that's where it needs to go.
Yeah.
So it needs to be expedited up. Don't get. Yeah.
The freight working group had a meeting there the other day, so we attended that. There's some issues there that perhaps need to be discussed at some stage. Perhaps this is not the place for that, but I'm just sharing that.
What are the issues?
We could probably put that in the SPW.
I think we need really good. That will be in the SPW. That's the other stuff that we need
free time.
There's a lot more work. We started.
So maybe SPW.
We probably won't have on January, but we'll have a whole bring back.
Harvest will be upon us. So will there be something? Will there be another freight working group, or will there be a plan? Probably harvest, or just carry on.
So do you want work done between now and harvest?
No. I want operators need direction on what you want them to do for this harvest.
Yeah. Right. I don't think
you've got Gary. You've got a harvest that's going to drag out for 3 months.
I said at the meeting that we're probably changing.
No,
it'll probably be the same.
Okay.
The same approvals that we've given previously, because there's just nothing to do. Like, I can't build the road.
No, I completely understand that, but if there's no Gary, he's the one that does the approval. So what's the plan? I'm asking from
council. We've got someone's doing NACR training, so we will have someone.
Okay, that's perfect. So it'll be as is this.
That's correct.
So is that message confirmed
for me?
Is that Jody's breakfast? Old message. Make sure he lets everyone know that it's as is. Or you can.
Councillor McNaught.
Nothing for me.
You got nothing? Councillor Corbin McLean.
Yes, I had Baruga Advancement Group on the 8th of November. Planning is well advanced with the carols by candlelight on the 11th of December, and we're coordinating with council about spraying because there's lots
the mosquitoes
of
mosquitoes are going to kill.
They're everywhere. We do. We're also liaising with the Baruga Rec Reserve as a possible plan B if it's too soggy in the gardens. As an option, so we're progressing that. Also, there has been a request for our bank statement. Unfortunately, the new signatories only lobbed at the bank last week. So I will get it to you as soon as I am humanly able. I'll hassle bank tomorrow on the phone. That's all I can do, I'm afraid.
Apologies for late notice. We have a last minute request from the auditors.
Yeah. Oh, look, it's my problem. I should have done it months ago, so it's all good. 10th of November went last Thursday, Tri-State Games. What a great event. Really fantastic. CBBT did a wonderful job, along with all the other organisers. People were so excited, and it's going to be even bigger and better next
week. And Friday, the gala dinner. Likewise, the gala dinner service was a fantastic event. And that's all for me.
Good job.
It was literally
Councillor Reynoldson.
20th of October did a Zoom with the Rural Fire Service because it was flooded out. We normally go to Coral, couldn't get there. Main things, they've got a new man running the show. He's based in Albury and he wants to amalgamate. We're at the moment where basically us and Federation is one area. He wants to amalgamate us for the meetings with Hume and Greater Hume, which is sort of the other side of Albury. And I said I didn't want to. So, I said it's too far away.
Good on you.
Don't start amalgamating anything.
At the moment, we operate under Federation Zone, which is ourselves and Federation Council. So we are one zone. And we are the equivalent of other zones in across New South Wales. However, because our zone is small and really only has three RFS staff dedicated to it, we operate in what they call the Southern Border Team with the Greater Hume Albury Zone. What they're suggesting that they would like to do is, even in terms of just the meetings, combine those so they're only having the one meeting. At the moment, they basically have a separate meeting for Greater Hume Albury and then a separate meeting for Federation Berrigan. I know some of the volunteers have been in my ear pretty strongly that they're opposed, because they see it as a start to amalgamating the two zones and creating one southern border zone. It pretty much operates that way as it is.
I was the only shire that objected. The other side was all right.
I guess the other question is, this is...
No status quo on you.
Well, I put a heap of reasons. I said, well, because I was talking about, because we'd be travelling further, we'll have to go to Auburn. And I said, our staff won't get there and everything else. And I said, well, I want them to come out and see the Berrigan Shire. So they agreed to that. So what happened out of that? We've got the next meeting here. So
there you go. See, careful what you wish for. You can butter the scones.
They'd be smarter than me.
Yeah, that's it. Don't worry.
One of the reasons why the volunteers, if you can let me know when those meetings are.
It's the 16th of February here at 10 a.m.
Right, because we then can organise to book this room and to have catering.
I've already done that.
He's smarter than you think he is.
Now, one of the other reasons why the volunteers are keen to make sure the Cora of Berrigan, Federation now, since the amalgamation zone exists, is because there is an actual fire control centre that has been built at Cora Aerodrome, which services both us and Federation.
It's like most
and
those
they are concerned that as soon as we become one zone, that'll all be based in Albury and we'll have a white elephant.
It's like most things. It's just rotational. Roger's been there five minutes. He's got them to get a meeting out here. So there's no reason why it can't rotate quarterly to all different zones.
Not just the meetings, it's the whole facility.
No, I realise that.
Anyway, I'm making
you're saying
the report. I haven't finished.
Right, get up.
You can like it or lump it. That's just how it is. Anyway, they brought up about their guardian... And you probably know more about this, offering training and, you know, to get the money out of it. And I don't see how it's really relevant to us in a great form. But there's potential, there's training facilities, venues and times at Denny and Wagga, which have all gone. But anyway, it's there to get the money and the stuff.
Can I ask a question? Sorry, Councillor Anderson. What meeting was this? Was this its only ASON or bushfire management?
Bushfire. RFS.
So they have two separate meetings. They have a zone liaison and
bushfire
manager. If it's a zone liaison meeting, I should have been invited too.
No, Gary's the other one. You're not on there. Bushfire. It was a bushfire.
Sorry.
So rural fire service.
So they have, there's two separate meetings.
Yeah. Well, this
don't concentrating. This is Roger.
I'll do both of them, so don't worry. anyway, it was offered about the training and the funding that's available. And the only thing we could get slashed on the side of the roads, and that's a pretty dodgy one. They were on about Ratcliffe Road being closed, which is out of Berrigan here. I went and had a look, and it's a nature reserve. So anyway, I told them. Next meeting's going to be here. That's about it. Went to the BDDA meeting the other night. Worried about the market day. The Galar's happening. Everyone's worried about the Galar. Anyway, they got passed at the meeting.
We need another $200,000 for the glass, do we?
this one won't fly away.
At the risk of being controversial, Councillor Anderson, have they applied for development?
We haven't seen the development application yet. If you put it on wheels,
that wasn't mentioned at the meeting. I can't comment on that one. So they raised the money. Well, they didn't raise them. They haven't raised the money yet, but BDA was going to back it. Apparently it was in Shepparton the other day.
That's correct.
The other thing you can worry about the Galar. All they were worried about was what they're going to sit it on. There's an ALHAC meeting tonight at Medill Centre for stressed out farmers because of the flooding. Ted, you can turn up. Anyone else wants to go along? 7 o'clock barbecue, beers at Medill Centre.
What's the Medill Centre?
Up
next to the clinic.
Yeah,
same building.
Righto, Councillor Taylor.
sponsored by Community Health, I assume.
The Memorial Hall, who do I talk to? I've been invited to a meeting, I think, in the next week or so. Who do I talk to just get an update as to the renovations and where they're at? And
you can talk to myself, and I'll organise to have Moeta available to give you a briefing. We're in the procurement phase now, so it won't be far away.
I know that they've done some work. They've done lights and things. My other question was just there was a meeting that I think the mayor and I went to. Maybe I don't know whether Sarah was there as well. Just about regional care, and there was some discussion I think about issues with planning, and also discussions. And I think it's been raised before about whether they're an organisation that should be, we should have an MOU with. Are we waiting for them to ask, or do we precipitate that, or, you know, what's...
I think it was them coming to us. Joe did reply to them on the planning stuff. I got Joe to email then.
So you've spoken to them,
Joe? I've spoken to Ben in relation to the addressing issue. They were the planning issues, but in with respect to the MOU question around that, then I believe that I'm not too sure what the process is in that respect, but I'm pretty confident that writing to Karina and expressing an interest in entering into an MOU with council then would be the pathway.
Yeah. Was that the process that we had with Tokemoor Golf Club and Baruga Sporties? Did they write to us, or did we...
Yes.
Okay.
I can pass that on.
I
can pass that on.
Sit down. He's got to get out. He can't talk about it.
I didn't.
That's all.
That's it. What about you?
Kibosh on it. I've emailed where I get most of the issues about FOGO. FOGO had a meeting with Andrea Baldwin and her offsider Christian from Albury. I thought that was really interesting. And I spoke to Rohit. There's another guy coming out at the SPW, the non-SPW, in December to present the state of waste, which will be really good, very timely. And the Tri-State Games, that was the most fun anyone's ever had in Cobram on a Monday morning. It was just the best. It was the best thing you've ever, like. So, yeah, there were teams of the athletes coming down, cheering themselves on, and then it was lined with school kids and kinder kids cheering them on. So it was it was great. The Australia Day nominations. Who has done one yet? Who's done an Australia Day award nomination?
Renee's doing one for Berrigan.
Is she? So you'll do yours? You'll do someone?
I'm supporting her.
What are you saying?
I've got to be very careful. Conflict of interest.
No.
I'm the MC.
You'll be here. Can't
just try.
So the Australia Day nominations close on the 5th of December? 2nd of December. And I propose that each councillor should nominate someone, because we should have an idea of who's doing good stuff in the community. I'm nominating someone. I know Julia's nominating someone. And I just think it's our responsibility to give these awards a bit of fuel.
It's nice of you to think that.
Pardon? It is nice of you to think that. I think a lot of things.
So Renee's doing one, so that's three. Ted, are you in?
Ted will obviously do one for maybe a Tokemoor resident to get you guys in the race.
You can always do yourself, Ted.
Yeah. Well done, me.
Anyway, it's up to us. Otherwise, it's going to be a bit embarrassing if we don't have worthy recipients of the award. I went to the Switch South Western Library Delegate Conference in Albury.
So, sorry, just before you go on there, so the process is you are actually approaching somebody to tell them that you're nominating them?
No, I'm anonymously nominating them for Citizen of the Year, because I think they have done good things.
Yeah, good. Good job.
Thanks. Would you like to nominate someone? It could be a sports group. It could
be. Find 5 minutes. I'll definitely.
Community group.
Yep. I'll definitely.
There's a footballer on the back page of the paper.
There is.
That's right.
You've got to get some results first.
You've got to do something.
Don't say do.
We can all sign up. So the library.
We can all sign up.
The library conference was really good. I saw our librarians over there, and they were very appreciative. In fact, they got to go over and enjoy the conference because it's a bit of a lone wolf career. A lot of bookish types there. They were all had really good speakers. They had an ex-military guy who spoke about how he's now supporting the Backyard Cricket Fund,
It's a thing they do where it's a bit of a crossover between you run a backyard cricket game, it's properly scored and done and recorded, and then the money goes to country libraries. So it's all about inclusion and literacy and all the good things. The other thing they brought up was that the New South Wales government announced on the second day that they were securing their funding. So I think it was 160 grand for the next 4 years, which means our library service funding is secure, which the girls were rapt about. I had a meeting with all the other councillors that were library delegates, and I might not have been doing my library delegate job very well because they were all very invested in. They just knew a lot more about their library system. But they bring a report to council every month or quarter to let people know what's happening in the libraries. Library attendances, so they can see that they can get them up and what works and what doesn't
work. Well, that's a report that gets generated from council.
Quarterly.
Until IPNR came along and we started reporting through that way, it used to come to council every month, a separate report.
It now comes in your quarterly report.
Anne said she provides stuff regularly for whatever she needs to do from a requirement point of view. I think it was more just giving oxygen to the work that they're doing out there.
Of course.
The same way we find out what other elements of the council are doing. So when necessary, I'll do a report on that. And the freight working group is moving along in terms of trying to work out how best to transport bulk commodities through an entire shire. There's no freight network supported, allegedly. We're working on that.
Now, to assist your nomination, I could go back through the archives and pick up my 100 I made at the back of Spunner's yard there in the backyard. Maybe we could submit that into the library situation, and maybe that might assist the nomination, do you think, or what? Come on. Did he? Johnny.
Maybe he told me about this. Yeah.
Right, 27th of the 10th, we did some filming for the Australia Day. Jack, I think, was the star. I think Jack's been hiding over there. She's got more to offer. 29th of the 10th, Berrigan. I attended the Berrigan Cup. Yeah. Not quite ready to go into the fashions of the field yet, but I'm telling you what, if other councillors rate themselves, I think I might, you know, step up, I think. No comment. 1st the 11th to the 3rd the 11th, myself and Rowett attended the National Roads Conference in Hobart. Now, Rowett was going to prepare a little report for that, but obviously he's been waylaid. Look, there's a lot of innovation in roads. As Julie noted, that the road networks across Australia are in dire straits, not just New South Wales, but New South Wales did, and that's hence the mayoral minute that we moved this morning, moved the motion at that conference. Because there's no room for debate at the Roads Conference. It's not like the local government conference where you have motions and you debate and do whatever. So anyway, they did that, expressing that it was extremely pressing that we need to get that in front and centre. And that'll be a campaign that'll be just ramped up between now and the state election. And obviously by going to country mayors today, that will start. Obviously that. Other than that, the conference was, pretty good. Again, different speakers, different technology. I won't steal Rowett's thunder. He will present a report somewhat to what Carly did when we went to the race conference. 4th to the 11th, did a Zoom meeting with Resilience New South Wales briefing. So these are becoming slowly but surely becoming the new cross-border commissioner meetings. They're every Friday. They give up an update of what the SES, what all the providers of services are doing and liaising through with New South Wales. It's some communities are in recovery, some are coming in and out of recovery, like Forbes. I think Gunnedah have been in flood for 6 months. I think Forbes have been in flood for 6 months, listening to the news this morning. So pretty much there's three different islands in Forbes now, and they're all just cut off. So we are quite lucky. 50-11th Finlay, a judge dancing with the stars.
Oh,
yeah.
Saw Sasha
Congreman. Yeah, that's right. 9th to 11th, Berrigan Resource Recovery with Councillor Marriott. Again, I think the Ramjo Waste team are very excited at the position that the Berry are going to taking and the innovation, you know, innovative, you know, opportunities that we're willing to look at. And yeah, it's good to. Andrea's quite passionate about it. She knows the area well, and we'll just keep continuing to drive that process forward. 10th to 11th, also attended the Tri-State Games. And they were doing the football kicking, and they were sort of cornhole throwing, but without a cornhole, and they were throwing tennis balls and that. And you're right, they were having an absolute ball. Old mate lobbed one, he did half a torpedo, and he's, whoa! And it was so good. And it's interesting enough, I just had a conversation with the volunteer organisation. So there's one paid employee there. They don't come under Disability New South Wales or Disability Victoria. They're a separate entity. It's ridiculous that they're not funded. When you've got 200 athletes like that that are participating or at least, you know, joining in, then there should be some sort of government funding for it, or they should be able to access some. Like, it's ridiculous. And then we went to the dinner, and so the 11th. Yeah, anyway, the 11th to the 11th, I attended Finley Remembrance Day ceremonies, and again, there's a small but dedicated group of veterans, and the organisation that run it?
RSL,
yeah, sub-branch, and I got to meet the new priest that's been in Finley for 6 months. He's Vietnamese. Very, very good. On the 11th of the 11th also, we went to dinner. On the 13th of the 11th, I went to the welcome dinner for the left-handed golfers. 126 of those ladies and gentlemen in Tokemoor for a week. Again, you know, using our magnificent golfing facilities. And on the... Sorry? Yeah, I know. I mentioned that to someone yesterday and they laughed at me. And I went, So, yeah, anyway. 15th to 11th, I went to Tokemoor and attended the library meeting around the issues there. And yesterday also I met with Police Superintendent Paul Smith and Assistant Commissioner Peter Cotter and a couple of staff at Finley Police Station. They were the ones that actually laughed about it's such a thing that there's a left-handed golfer. So I said, yeah, it is. Oh, that is. But no, we had a range of discussions from policing right through to opportunities to work with the community on a or work with us in the community around getting into the academies or into So one of the guys, and I forget his name, but he'd been in jewellery for 5 years and now he's going over to work for the GDs in Albury, and the other young fella, he's been in Finley for 12 or 18 months. So it seems to be you get that 3 to 5 year period out of them, but once they get here, they're embraced, you know, they play squash, they go to the gym, they do whatever else, they involve in the community. So we just need to continue to have those conversations with the, and Paul's really good. Anytime I want to pick up the phone, he'll answer. And we also discussed maybe an upgrade for the Finley Police Station going forward, but obviously no commitments or whatever, but yeah.
That's not how it matches.
No.
Finley?
Like that'd be a state.
No, yeah. No, we're not. We don't have to do it. No, 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 no. So they're fixing, they're nearly ready to, occupancies are nearly ready for Bruger House.
Nearly.
Nearly, I know. I pushed them. I pushed them again.
She was at the meeting last night.
Yeah. Well, I pushed them again. I said, and they said, it's nearly there. If they could bowl the Finley one over, it's not heritage listed, and put a duplex there or something nice and tidy and upgrade it, it would be great. Anyway, that might be down the track. Oh, sorry, one other thing, sorry, before I go. Paul did say that they had their award ceremony and they had it at Federation last year, so they will be looking to maybe hold it in Berrigan at the showgrounds next year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. 2023, so they'll make an approach to us to do that. Because it's pretty much central.
Yep.
But
Police. Cool.
Boys in blue and ladies in blue.
So just if you didn't know, we've been declared under the National Disaster.
Someone like to move my report.
Oh, yes.
Second. So move, Councillor Murray, second, Councillor Cornwall. All those in favour? Yes, Gary, thank you.
Sorry, so I'm just going to update you. So we've been declared a national disaster under the National Disaster Scheme. So as part of that, we have to give them a whole report about the damage that's been done, what we've done to do it, and how we've done it all. Obviously, we don't have enough human beings to do some of the work because it involves a lot of record management and photos and all that sort of stuff. So Rohit's gone out and found this person, which I think is really good, who will give us a full road condition report of all of our roads, because that will help us, and all of our other infrastructure as well. So this is just the road stuff that he just wanted me to show you so you could understand. This is something NDD will pay for it, but it's something that will help us, freight network, things like that. So so you have an understanding, you just ask that I play it, so I'm doing as I'm told. Oh, hang on, have I got sound?
Designed and built by Shepherd for Australian conditions, RACUS is a cost-effective road asset condition assessment system used by authorities to quickly capture condition data in order to make informed decisions. Practical, accurate, portable, affordable. RACUS is a powerful road asset survey tool that delivers outstanding value for money. Set up in minutes and mounted to any vehicle. Mobile RACUS works by capturing high-resolution images every 10 to 15 metres. Precision GPS and roughness data using a passport device. Inside the vehicle, the inspector uses a touchscreen to record points of interest during the survey. Back at the office, data captured by mobile RACUS can be viewed on virtual RACUS, our reviewing tool, for desktop assessment or integrated with existing GIS and asset management systems. RACUS can capture up to 200 kilometres a day of road network and is equally suited to sealed and unsealed roads. Road survey data captured by RACUS can be used for multiple applications, including defect logging and road condition assessment, valuations, accurate network analysis and audit, capital renewal works programs, targeted maintenance programs to optimise budget spend, flood damage assessment, pre-disaster evidence of road condition, investigate road complaints without leaving the office, and...
buffering.
So is something he wants to buy or
hire? So this person is actually going to come and do this work with us, and we will be purchasing the
data, and the
actual software solution. But that will go into our bill with the NDD because that's all stuff that we need. We can do that, and this will also obviously help us further out to say this is the road thickness, this is the condition, this is,
Is it just a superficial look at it, or does it actually measure the quality of the road underneath it?
Yes.
Yes, it measures the quality.
Which one is it?
Both.
Oh, sorry. The first. As well as taking images, and it's got mobile cameras and so on, it measures the roughness of the road and gives us a condition report. From this data, it can even, if we choose to do so, it will generate a priority report that says this is the works that you need to do.
Yeah. So
that's what is built into the software that comes with it. Once it gets that data,
it's not going to go with it.
Yeah.
Do all sorts of wonderful things. Sorry, Brabbit gave me a little bit of a briefing as well.
Yeah, so I'll send you that little thing anyway. It's just going to buffer.
Yeah, good. That's all right. That's
good. We'll send it to you so you can have a look at it.
Have you got anything else? Have you got anything?
Yeah, I do.
We'll go pack it up.
My battery's running out. So the only thing I've got is obviously we're doing audit at the moment. Just want to commend the work of the finance team that they've done so far to get to this date. A couple of things that have come up from audit that might be of interest. One is we're working very, very hard on the RFS assets on trying to find a median path through not conceding that RFS assets are ours and not bringing them on their books, but also not ending up with qualified statements. We think we may have a compromised position that will allow us to continue to be very clear that we do not bring the assets to account and not bring them to account, but also not have us end up with a qualified audit opinion. I'm hoping that I'll be able to confirm that in the next day or two. The only reason we are likely to, or the only reason why we have the potential to get there is because unlike Greater Hume and Federation, you have like 20 units and 34 units, we've only got the 5 units and only 19 bits of fleet. So we are arguing that while we're not bringing them account, we also don't believe that they are material in the larger scale of things. Whereas if you're Greater Hume with close to 100 bits of fleet, that's not as easy to do. So that's one. Number two is very late in the audit process, we received a request for bank statements for all our 355 committees, and it came with the advice that the New South Wales Audit Office are taking an active interest in how councils manage their Section 355 volunteer committees, because they have identified that some other councils, there are committees that hold significant amount of funds, upwards of $100,000 plus, that are not being consolidated in the council's accounts, and there's no evidence of controls and checks and balances. So foreshadowing, I guess, that is going, the management of our 355 committees, while I know Eric is onto it, is coming from the audit office now as well. We have had to scramble in the last week to try and get our committees to provide bank statements, and they have done an amazing job, all of them, to get them to us, with one exception. There's other exceptions. There are other exceptions, but in the main, we have had a great response considering we put it to them very late. But just wanted to flag that that'll almost certainly come out of the out of what's coming from the audit is, again, looking at our 355 committees and how they're managed.
Cool. Do you have anything, Jay?
I think done.
Good. Now, Joe.